While Fagash goes on a tour of complaint, Trump thanks Iran for a present they say they didn't give him, and we hear an Easter tradition is cruel to unborn chickens. That and more with me, Nick Abbott, after the new news at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Yemen's Houthis have promised to increase their attacks after entering the US-Israeli war with Iran for the first time. The group, which is backed by Tehran, has fired missiles towards Israel's. Hala Rarit is a former US diplomat who's worked in Yemen.
It's unsurprising that the Houthis have joined, but I would say that it points to a very significant and worrisome spread of the conflict. The Houthis don't just have the capabilities of hitting Israel, but they also have the capabilities of hitting the Gulf states.
Lebanon's president has condemned the killing of three journalists during an Israeli strike on their vehicle in the south of the country. Israel's military says they worked for Hezbollah-affiliated channels. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, is to launch a campaign calling for Britain to maximise its oil and gas reserves. The party is to put a Get Britain Drilling campaign at the heart of its proposals for cutting energy prices, which are spiking because of the war in the Middle East. Tens of thousands of people have taken part in a mass demonstration against the far right in central London. It was organised by the Together Alliance of more than 50 organisations. It estimates 500,000 people gathered, some of them talking to LBC.
I'm British and I'm proud to be British. I'm a black man, so I'm proud. And I am showing my colours for my country, and I want to show people who's against people of colour that's not what it's about.
I'm really, really blown away by the scale of it. I knew it was going to be big.
You can see people coming from all over the country, so it's really refreshing and great to see such unity.
Staffordshire police have arrested a teenager after fire damaged a grade 2 listed mill. It happened last night in Leek. The 18-year-old has been held on the suspicion of arson. And we're being reminded that clocks will go forward by 1 hour at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. The UK is about to move into British summertime, meaning lighter evenings. LBC weather, dry with clear spells for most areas overnight before a band of rain and cloud moves into Northern Ireland and Scotland, cold with a widespread frost and a low of around 1 degree. Chilly and bright for the southeast to begin with on Sunday. Cloud and rain in the northwest at first before the rain then moves further south. We'll see a high tomorrow of around 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
What the hell is going on?
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
Thanks, Donnie. Good to know. These are messages from last night. Kath Theth. Hi, Nick. Please don't forget that the clocks go forward early hours of Sunday morning. I'm sure you are aware. Yes, I am aware. We're about to step into the light. Which is good, because pretty soon we won't be able to afford to turn on our electric lights. Pump closed signs have been spotted at petrol stations after a rival petrol station admitted that demand is outstripping supply.
Oh, no.
Workers were seen closing pumps at a forecourt in Cheshire. While last night, a petrol station in Prestwich in Greater Manchester was forced to put out notice alerting customers that there was no diesel available. They all have got the same signs, don't they? It doesn't matter which petrol station you go to. If they don't have any petrol or diesel in their pumps, they've all got the same yellow signs. I'd like to buy shares in the company that makes those yellow signs. There seems to be a monopoly. Because I've never seen another sign on a petrol pump that has run out of petrol or diesel that alerts the consumer that we ain't got none. They're all the blooming same. Who makes those then? Somebody should look into that very strongly and with great strength. fears are growing over a global fuel crisis triggered by the Mango Mussolini's closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which was triggered by Merca and Israel starting a war that they won't be able to stop anytime soon, and they don't appear to have a plan for. And it looks like Trump thought that Iran would just cave after seeing his enormous muscles on one of his superhero trading cards that he issues of himself. This painted clown off the telly is about to make everything worse. It's almost as though it wasn't a good idea to elect a man whose achievements amount to playing a business success on a television game show.
Don't be rude.
Earlier, Asda warned that some forecourts are experiencing temporary shortages of petrol. But Fuel Industry UK, which represents the fuel sector, said that the supply of petrol and diesel is stable. It's stable. Yeah, unlike the man who got us into this mess in the first place.
I'm a very stable genius.
Very stable. The average price of unleaded petrol has risen by more than 17 pence since the start of his excursion. 17p a litre up since Donald Trump launched his war on Iran. It's now at about £1. Well, it depends on where you go, I suppose. I saw it at £1.55.
What?
£1.55. Blimey. £1.55.11p, to be precise. How are they getting away with that? Pricing something in hundredths of a penny. And why do you never get fractions of a penny when you randomly stop the pump? Huh? I mean, we should be looking at that very strongly. One police force has warned motorists to secure their cars against the risk of petrol theft if they're parked outside their home. Motorists are being advised by Wiltshire Police to equip their vehicles with anti-siphon devices and locking fuel caps and use CCTV when possible. Other security measures include, but are not limited to, installing motion sensor lighting and alarms, putting down gravel to ensure approaching footsteps are heard, and enclosing oil tanks in cages. Also, you could keep your car in a cage and rig it to explode if anybody touches it, like that scene in For Your Eyes Only when James Bond's car blows up as a burglar protection. And you could get a moat built around your car and put sharks in it with laser beams attached to their heads. Or you could just give up the car and get the bus. See, what you've done, you tangerine twit? You're forcing us to take the bus. Marwan says, Nick, I watched a bit of the Melania film. It was absolutely horrendous. It was a film about her day-to-day life, fashion, and her attention to detail preparing events. It's everything you'd expect it to be. I was hoping there would be some substance to it, but it was absolutely vacuous. He says, you're absolutely vacuous, Malaria.
I don't care.
She's not that bothered. It's the... which is just as vacuous as a response as you would expect. Here's a caller, a suspiciously keen caller in Plymouth called Julie. Julie.
Hello, Nick. I'm so sorry to be so keen.
Yes.
Now, Liz Truss, I'm very annoyed. I'm very, very annoyed. I was listening to your esteemed colleague, Lewis, and he was talking about him. He's over in Texas covering this CPAC 2026.
Yeah.
I mean, she's over there, not just running down London, but running down Prime Minister and also the... you know, the country.
Yeah.
And this lady, this person was in power for 45 days.
Yes.
I know.
We couldn't stand it a single solitary second more, Liz.
That is a disgrace.
Yes.
I tell you what is a disgrace. We pay her £115,000 a year, taxpayers' money, and she's
so,
over there running us all down.
Yeah. Well, it's a living.
We have to do something about it. I think, can we start a campaign tonight, Nick? We need however many signatures. We've got to stop this Conservative Party membership, like, under 18s. They can't vote, like, in the general election, but they could vote for their next leader. Like, that's how we got Liz Truss and things.
Yeah.
And it's not right. We've got to start something, Nick.
I don't know what it is about these right-wingers that think that it is acceptable. It is patriotic, yet, to go abroad and, for money, talk down this country to a room full of foreigners.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Conservative Party, I imagine she'll do on reform at some point because, I mean, you expect it of Farage, but, I mean, she was our Prime Minister and she's taking money off us and something's got to be done, Nick.
I think that something has got to be done, yes. Somebody should start a petition or something like that.
We will. Let's do that. Let's start it, Nick.
Well, right. When you say let's, that implies that I'm going to be joining, but I really don't think that...
Let's see if one of your lovely listeners has the ability
sounds like
to
work.
Do this.
Yeah, so,
all right then, Nick. Sorry about that.
You can count me out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Nick.
Duly noted. Thanks a lot, Julie. But in a nutshell,
my message to you is clear, plain, and simple. Never trust a Tory. Did you get that? I'll repeat it. Never trust a Tory.
Got it, Nigel. Unless they want to join your party. Is that what you mean? Laura says three things. One, give capybaras another chance. They're super cute. No, they're not. Their whole nose area is too large. Two, Shazamming yourself doesn't work. I've tried it before. It's disappointing. Yeah, you'd think that artificial intelligence would be able to understand what song it is that you're singing. I mean, I used to work in a record store, and I guarantee you people used to come in and walk confidently to the counter and say, have you got the one that goes... And three, should you be promoting extortionate TV shows in a cost-of-living crisis?
Absolutely.
We're talking about The Sopranos last night. Again. Rose in Battersea says, capybaras are a kind of giant guinea pig and do have a bit of a special status in the guinea pig rescue world. They're lovely, as are guinea pigs, and used to rehome rescue piggies for, as are guinea pigs, and used... to rehome rescue piggies for a charity. Okay, that doesn't make no sense whatsoever, but you're sticking up for capybaras. They're just giant rats, Rose. And Andrew says, best TV series ever was written and directed by the pure genius David Lynch. Twin Peaks. David Lynch died in that LA fire, didn't he? I didn't know that until some while after. And I do recall when Twin Peaks came out, it was absolutely riveting. It was like I know it was probably a small audience by comparison to, other bigger shows that were on at the time, because it was a bit of a niche product. But for the people that were watching, it was just, it was like your entire week revolved around. It was so exciting. And then it got weird. A little bit self-indulgent, just too silly at the end there. I mean, you watch the first, I can't remember how many episodes there were, but let's say 10. And then after that, it's just, people started talking backwards and you had absolutely no idea what was going on. It all seemed a bit,
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
Yeah, or something even stronger than that. Can you imagine? 0345-6060-973. Saffron Walden. Hello, Jay.
Oh, hi. Malden. Saffron Walden.
Saffron Walden, yeah.
Yeah. How are you, Nick? Okay?
I am great, mate. Do you know where you are?
Yes, I am. Yes. Basically, I wanted to call you before the Third World War kicks off.
Oh, yeah. Any time now.
Before you cancel your normal show and you're going to start interviewing all these experts about the war next week, to be honest.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, so basically I want to talk about, I was listening to your catch-up, I always do in the mornings on Saturday, and you're talking about these food waste bins, which you don't like.
Oh, food waste. Yeah, food waste bins, yes. They're not suitable. Yeah. The foxes know how to get in them, and the food absolutely honks in there. If they want us to separate our food waste and put it in an extra bin, then they've got to come and pick it up, because once every week, once every 2 weeks is not enough.
Yeah, that's right. But how long you had that bin for? Because we just received our one last week, and my wife's super excited. We already got three bags. And I was telling her, when I was listening today, and then I come back home, I said to her, listen to Nick Abbott, and he hated. And she said, no, I'm so excited. Three bags we have it now.
All right. Well, she's only just got it. You just wait till it starts smelling. Like, call me back in the summer and tell me if she's excited about it.
I will try to do that. Yeah, another thing is I wanted to talk about, that guy, RFK Jr.?
Yeah.
Did you know what he tried last week on the podcast? He confessed.
RFK Jr. He tried to smoke his own fingers. No idea.
Not really. He you know, he likes the roadkill, right? How many times did you stop to get a roadkill and examine it? So he basically cut the genitals of a raccoon and put it in his pocket to examine it later on.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that, and I wish I hadn't been told it just now. Good. You're talking about this guy.
I'm not scared of a germ. You know, I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats.
Well, that does explain a lot. All right, thanks a lot, Jay. Don't ever call this show again. 0345-6060-973. Speaking of animals, this text says wombat poo is what OXO cubes are made of. Well, that's not true, but it coincidentally is the same shape and colour. But it is just a coincidence. Now, if you have got no idea what we're talking about, this fact... We're actually dealing with facts on this show, if you can believe that. This fact came out last night, very, very late in the programme, about wombat poo. And I'm sorry to have to use the P word there, but there's no other way around it. It comes in cube form. Cube form. As in a 3D square. And you think I'm making it up, and I thought that the person that told me that was making it up, but apparently it's completely correct in every respect. Cubes, they do. You believe that? 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. If you are a landlord and you have existing tenants, you must send them a copy of the government's information sheet by the 31st of May, or risk a fine. Find out more at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
And now your travel news. It's starting to look a bit congested on the A4872 southbound. We're hearing reports people are slowing down to look at the Volkswagen Transporter sales event. Apparently you can get £1,500 off any new Transporter. That's any variant, any trim, and any colour until the 31st of March. Now that's a deal worth queuing for. Search VW Transporter offers. UK retail customers 18 plus. Discount applies to price of all new Transporters ordered by 31st of March and delivered by 30th of June.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
Have an outside line, please.
Sean in Isha says Trump's a big ignorant child with a box of fireworks to play with, and now he's found the box of soldiers. Yeah, did you hear about their boat? I'll come to that in a moment. Philip says, a tortoise is a reptile. Well, we were discussing tortoises last night. A tortoise is a reptile. The Green Party belongs in a zoo. A bunch of lentil-munching, pot-smoking hippies. Your callers are also morons, says Philip. Wow. Quite the critic. A tortoise is not a reptile. It's a fish. And lastly, from last night, Phil in Accrington says that pandas are the cutest animals in the world, which is not true. They're the stupidest animals in the world. Think of one other animal that needs to be persuaded to have sex with other animals of its species. Think of one. I mean, it's like they're trying to become extinct. Let's have Lester Hemant.
Oh, good evening, Nick.
Hemant.
Sorry, I got all excited.
Are you ready?
Nick, quick question. Yeah, I'm ready. Here we go. You know the 70s programme, Mind Your Language? Did you ever watch it?
What was that about again?
It was like a teacher in a school teaching people English, but they were all from all walks of different countries.
Right. I vaguely remember that, yeah, but no, I don't recall watching it.
Yeah.
No. My glamorous assistant says it's the most racist program ever. Blimey.
Yes.
Was it?
It was. There were things which you couldn't get away saying today.
Yeah.
Because it'll cause mayhem.
Consternation.
Correct. Anyway, and also on that, they had one guy using a telephone and dialing it, and you had to put money in it.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, kids these days, know what that's all about.
No, they have, no idea. They have missed the opportunity to go into a telephone box and breathe that smell in deeply and put that receiver to their ear, it being coated with the earwax of thousands of people who have used it before them.
Exactly. And I've got another question. Well, Nigel Farage, he went, or he says he got invited to Ipswich Town Football Club.
Mm.
I don't know if that was mentioned yesterday.
Yeah.
But,
ever since, they've been apologising profusely.
I am very sorry that I screwed up. Totally screwed. I mean, I am so sorry. You just don't know how sorry I am. I'm sorry.
I mean, what kind of a person is so toxic they have to wheel the main guy out to apologise for inviting him to an empty football stadium?
Correct. And the other one is, he's going to be going to Sunderland.
Yeah, well, we can look forward to the apologies from them shortly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, spotted. Finally,
I'm not a fan of The Dark Side of the Moon. Because I listened to it, and sorry, Nick, because you suggested you love it, and I was like, it's not for me.
What do you mean it's not for you? What bit of it is not for you?
It sounds very spooky, and it's very...
Spooky?
When you start from the beginning, I just thought, God, it's like... I felt like getting spaced out.
Right. Well, that was probably the condition in which it was recorded. So that is appropriate, yeah. Try Wish You Were Here, and you can thank me later.
Okay, I will do. All and right. Don't forget, just a reminder, clocks go forward.
Clocks go forward. Yes, I know that. All right. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345-6060-973. Mind your language, Nigel. Have you heard about that?
Bernard Manning.
No.
Bernard Manning.
No.
Bernard Manning. Do you want to hear some of the Bernard Manning jokes on ITV?
No, thanks. Not appropriate. But that was the Wheel Tappers and Shunters Social Club, not Mind Your Language. So you got that wrong. Oh, he's been getting a lot wrong lately. He's on a worldwide complaints tour. One moment, please. A police probe into allegations of family voting in last month's Gorton and Denton by-election found no evidence, as in zero evidence, of breaches of electoral law. The parliamentary contest on the 26th of Feb, which was won by the Green Party, was hit by claims of illegal practices at polling stations across the constituency. The so-called family voting is where two people use one polling booth and potentially direct each other on voting, just as long as they're not doing anything else in there.
Disgusting.
Can you imagine? Disrespecting the plywood booth, that would be. Election observer Democracy Volunteers said it had witnessed, quotes, concerningly high levels of family voting in Gorton and Denton by-election. Reform UK, who lost, later reported this to the Greater Manchester Police as party leader Nigel Fagash lashed out at losing. He actually lashed out at what he called cheating. But I think it unlikely that if he had won, he would have been lashing out at all. He'd have been complaining that people were complaining. Nothing to see here.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
But Greater Manchester Police on Friday said it found no evidence, as in zero evidence, of any intent to influence or refrain any person from casting a ballot, adding that there was no remaining reasonable line of inquiry. And Fagash said, frankly, this is exactly the kind of establishment whitewash people are sick to death of. Establishment. That news again. Poor millionaire who went to a private school and was a city trader whose party is bankrolled by billionaires rails against the establishment. The Green Party's Hannah Spencer won the by-election by a landslide. 40.7% of the vote and a majority of 4,402. And Reform's Matt Goodwin was second on 28.7%. Wasn't even close. Reform thought they'd win and got their bottoms handed to them. And you can hear them whining through concrete. And if you don't know who he is, by the way, just ask ChatGPT about Matt Goodwin. It has detailed files. It could write a book.
Correct.
The four election observers from Democracy Volunteers saw voting in 22 polling stations they attended across Gorton and Denton. But in a statement, Greater Manchester Police said Democracy Volunteers did not allege any verbal instruction or physical conduct that indicated one person was directing or coercing another regarding how to vote. Greater Manchester Police said they had asked Democracy Volunteers for descriptions of those alleged to be involved and timings on when the incidents are believed to have occurred. These details were not documented by observers or the complainant, and we have not been provided with any identities or descriptions to pursue, the force said. I should have done the force voice. Too late now. It added that it had obtained CCTV footage from three polling stations visited by Democracy Volunteers. They had spoken to the presiding officer of each one of them, but that these stations did not show any evidence of people directing or coercing others on how to vote. Zero evidence. You know, but Reform lost, so they complain and complain and complain. It's also... What would Donald Trump do?
I am the most fabulous whiner. And I'm a whiner, and I keep whining and whining.
And it's because they thought they were going to win. And they were, all ready to break out the smug smiles. Does that man's teeth ever meet? He's always got a huge grin on his face. But it was wiped off because they lost to the groovy greeners. And they've been complaining about it ever since. You lost. Get over it. One of their favourite phrases. Right back at you. Mikey in Croydon says, not heard from Fagas recently. I wonder where he is. Gary in Anglesey says, depending on which newspaper report you read, we're either going to have a new beast from the east or a mini heatwave soon. Well, the puffins have arrived early in Anglesey and primroses are in full bloom, a sure portent of a beautiful summer. And as a good prediction as any tabloid commentary, which may not be true, but it doesn't stop it from being a fact. Yeah, how do birds or plants know what is going to happen in the summer? That's just daft. I mean, looking to nature for some indication as to what is going to happen in a couple of months' time. Nature doesn't know. It's responding to what has just happened, not what is going to happen. Nature isn't like Yuri Spoonbender. They can't tell the future, you know. But I know what can. I've got an app. An app can. One moment, please. Checking while you wait. Next couple of weeks. Rubbish. It's the same every day. It's about 11 the high, 8, 9 the low. Sometimes it's raining and sometimes it's not. Same blooming thing all the blooming time. Oh, well, never mind. We've just got to get on with it, haven't we? Southampton. Hello, Simon.
Nick. Simon. Good evening. Nick, I've got a bit niche for you tonight that you really aren't going to care about.
Carry on.
Right. Now, there is a particular item that plays a big part of my life, right?
Yeah.
I found out today that in October... The Rachel Reeves' new taxation will kick in upon said item.
How much?
Right. To buy 10 millilitres of this particular item, currently is £3.99.
Yes.
It's going up to £6.63.
What?
Wow.
If I buy 120 millilitres of this product, it's currently £14.99.
Yeah.
It's going up to £46.67.
What?
Blimey. That is some raise.
Yeah. Now, the reason why you won't care is because I'm talking about vape liquid.
Right.
But...
Have you tried cigarettes?
Well, yeah. I said to the guy in the shop, I think I might have to. But, you know, cost of living and all that, vapors are affected by it too, and I think that is too excessive.
Right. Well, they're about to go up even more than that because vapes are made from plastic, aren't they? And you know what plastic is made from? Oil. That's right.
Well, do you know what? I like to see a silver lining in everything. And whilst I never, ever want to see any war, and I don't want anybody to suffer, etc., etc., I really mean that.
Yeah, but
if it proves to seal his fate, then I'll take it.
Who's his?
Who do you think?
Right.
Yeah.
The Mango Mussolini.
The monster. Yeah.
Okay, well, how many of those vapes do you get through a day?
I get through just under 2 bottles a day. So I'm a heavy vapor, very heavy. And so that would equate to between 14 and 17 milligrams a day. So bottle and a half. So that's £8 a day. And when I stopped smoking, when I stopped smoking, cigarettes were only £5 a day, and they're £15 a packet. Now that's fine because that's cigarettes.
You know how much you're spending a year. It's just shy of £3,000.
Yeah, probably less than what I spend on fast food. But the thing is, luckily, I'm not on a fixed income. If I was on a fixed income, I don't know how I would survive.
Right.
But, you know, as it stands, I'm so lucky in the respect that I can just do a couple of extra hours.
Yeah.
So all that really happens to me when prices go up is it just takes more of my time.
Or you could just stop doing it. How does that sound? Just stop doing it. Stop going into a shop and buying them and stop sticking them in your mouth.
Well, there's a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to.
Ah, well, you should have said that right at the beginning. Yeah, you missed that detail out. All right, thanks a lot, Simon. He doesn't want to, and I can't make him. 0345-6060-973. Just past 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Yemen's Houthis have promised to increase their attacks after entering the US-Israeli war with Iran for the first time. The group, which is backed by Tehran, has fired missiles towards Israel. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, is to launch a campaign calling for Britain to maximise its oil and gas reserves. The party is to put a Get Britain Drilling initiative at the heart of its proposals for cutting energy prices. And tens of thousands of people have taken part in a mass demonstration against the far right in central London. It was organised by the Together Alliance of more than 50 organisations. LBC weather, dry with clear spells for most areas overnight before a band of rain and cloud moves into Northern Ireland and Scotland. Cold with a widespread frost and a low of around 1 degree.
Hear every side of the story. LBC.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers, because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no, just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which, a record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
Taxes changing from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord,
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Tax is changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
Our pet's in a pickle. We're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
What in blazes goes on inside that head of yours?
So I want to talk about a lot tonight. There's the Easter egg roll controversy. I want to talk about the new Ayatollah. And I've got your, not necessarily a Meghan Markle update, but it's an entire royal family update, because there's been precious little news about Meghan specifically, so I'll include other members, just so that you are all up to date. This text says, I hope the writers of South Park are okay. There's been no new episodes since the last year. I hope they haven't had a visit from the real-life Tony Soprano. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, when the last series of South Park, which is only about five episodes long, I mean, it's not like they're knocking themselves out, is there? But I watched it with astonishment, really, and it really does show where we are now, that they were criticising and making fun of Donald Trump so much that I thought, ooh, wow, I was like, it was almost, I made myself nervous watching it, thinking, well, perhaps, I mean, I didn't really think that anybody was going to burst in and put a bag over my head and then spirit me out the door and put me in the back of an unmarked van. But it felt a bit like, are we actually supposed to be watching this? Is this allowed? I mean, it was so over the top, but entirely justified. And then they disappeared around last December, and I thought, well, huh. So somebody's done something about them. Because he seems to have been doing something about everybody else. In fact, the head of the FCC, their media control arm, that has just been had the previous person disappeared, and Trump has got his new, just another spineless suck up in there. And he was saying, President Trump has been very clear about one of those people. And he said, he's winning. President Trump is taking on the media and he's winning. He's got Stephen Colbert. He's just been, he's going to get fired. And we've got CNN, that's about to be taken over, and NBC has been taken over. And he's just, on Washington Post, they have sacked all of their journalists, and President Trump is winning. Well, in what parallel universe does that sound like winning to anybody, apart from him personally? Taking on the media and ripping it apart, you know, like you've seen on the History Channel. And here's the story about the South Park people. Now, I know that, I think Paramount is one of those companies that have just been taken over, isn't it, by a Donald Trump fan or friend, in inverted commas. Not sure he actually has friends, but, you know, a friendly person to Donald Trump. On July the 23rd, last year, Parker and Stone, the two guys who were behind South Park, signed a new deal with Paramount Global to make 50 new episodes through to 2030. 50 new episodes through to 2030. You know how much the deal was for? $1.5 billion. Billion. $1.5 billion. To make a cartoon. Wow. I am in the wrong business. 0345-6060-973. Croydon, hello, Robert.
Hi, Nick. Hope you're well.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, just a few things. Just an update, really, on your parking ticket fiasco. Basically, when it first happened, I don't know why it used to be too big.
Well, it's very, very difficult to understand what you're saying there, Robert. Say that again.
When it first happened, I don't know why you didn't speak to Dean Dunham. He'd have sorted you out from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm not sure that either Dean or Daniel is very interested in parking tickets.
No, definitely Dean will be. Definitely.
Right. Well, I didn't want to abuse my relationship with anybody who was here. I mean, I see either or of them on a semi-regular basis, but they're not interested in my problems. Robert, I can't understand what you're saying. Either get to higher ground or buy yourself a new phone or perhaps relocate to Australia. Because if you were calling me from Australia, I'd be able to hear every single solitary syllable. That just fries my mind. He's calling me from Croydon, which is about 10 miles away. Can't hear a word he's saying. If he was calling me from Canberra, then I'd be able to... he would be coming through clear as a bell. Why is that? I've asked that so many times. It's just mystifying. Why doesn't anything in this country work? The Conservative Party! I ask the question and I give you the answer. You're welcome. this Gary and Anglesey says, depending on which newspaper report you read, we're either going to have a new... Oh, no, that's the one that I've just done. That's about the weather, yeah. It's going to be neither nor. It's gonna not going to be no beast from the east, and it's not going to be a pleasant... It's just going to be like this for 2 weeks straight. That's as far as they can see on that app. They can't see no more. And as for my parking ticket, God. I parked in a bay with a sign on it that said, don't park for the first 15 metres of this bay. Now, I assume that they thought the bay was only 15 metres long. I got that wrong. They didn't say the first 15. They said 15 metres from this sign, do not park in this bay. Now, the bay isn't 15 metres, it's 25 metres. And so, ha-ha, charade you are, I parked 25 metres away, thinking, you know, no problemo. And I came back, and some bloke was putting a ticket on my car, and I explained to him very calmly that he was in the wrong, and he said, well, I've written the ticket now, so there's nothing I can do. Out of my hands, he said. So I appealed, explaining that the sign said 15 metres, and I parked 25 metres away, and they said, no, you're wrong, and we're right. Which I assumed was just them trying it on. That they hadn't actually looked at the case at all, and it was just standard practice to just say no, with the threat of doubling the fine, which they would assume that I would just give up and pay straight away. But I'm not going to give up, damn it. And so I re-appealed. I appealed again. And they said again, no, we're right and you're wrong. I mean, it's 15 metres is not an opinion. It's a fact. It's a measurement. And I paced it out. No problem. And they said, within three spaces, 15 metres, and there's five spaces in this bay, 25 metres. And I explained that to them again. They said, no. And so now I've gone to the ombudsman. The ombudsman. And they said, all right then. Your court case has been scheduled for September.
What?
September. So I'm going to go. And I assume that nobody from the council is going to bother going, so I will win. And if I don't, then I'm just going to blow my top. How can they say that I am in the wrong when I quite clearly am in the right? But that's how they do it. They say, right, it's an £80 fine if you pay it straight away, or then if you don't pay, then we'll double it to 160 quid. We're going to give you a discount for good behaviour if you pay it straight away. Otherwise, it's going to be twice as much, and it's going to be 160 quid. But that's not what's happening at all. They're not giving me a discount. 80 quid is the fine, and they're going to double it if I don't pay straight away. They're not doing me a favour, they're penalising me more. And if there's one thing I hate being, it's penalised. Tessa in Cardiff says, it's very kind of you to offer us the pleasure of an extra hour of your time tonight, but I tend to find that after 3 hours you have delighted me long enough, says Tessa. Yeah, ain't got nothing to do with me. The clocks go forward and the clocks go back, but it all happens after I've signed off. So, nah. Let's see now. Ipswich. Hello, Phil.
Nick, I'm very cross with you and Hemant.
Oh, no.
Because you've stolen my thunder. I was going to tell you all about Farage coming to Ipswich.
Oh, yeah.
But you already know. So, I mean, what I was going to... I can tell you that their first reaction was, well, he was just on a regular tour of the stadium, like anyone else would do.
Mm-hmm.
Except that was rather disproved by the... I think they had 10 shirts printed up with his name and the number 10 on it.
Yeah.
And then they said, it wasn't an invitation from Mark, the chairman. Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of Fagash actually signing a shirt to Dear Mark. You know, basically, thanks for the invitation, Mark. All the rest of it. So, as you said, he's had to apologise for all that.
Amazing, really. I mean, yeah. Somebody is so toxic that a football club has to apologise for him holding one of their shirts.
Yes. And then, you know, doing a whole photo op around the whole thing. But what you may have missed is that earlier that day, he did something I don't think he's ever done before. He went to an East Coast seaside town.
Really?
Yes. Because he went to Felixstowe, which, as the seagull flies, is only just across the estuary from somewhere he supposedly has some association with.
Supposedly,
Supposedly, yeah. And apparently there were so many protesters, they had to bundle him into a car and drive him away.
And this guy is going to be the next Prime Minister of this country? I think not.
Well, I'm encouraged by...
Yeah, I mean, as much as the right-wing press are desperate to get him into number 10, hardly anybody in this country who votes is desperate to get him into number 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I must admit, I actually wasn't at home in Ipswich last week. I was in West Wales.
Oh, yeah.
In Pembrokeshire. And since they've... this sounds rambling, but there is a point to it. Last year they opened up the full dual carriageway at the head of the Bally's Road that goes from Abergavenny down to west of Swansea. And so if you drive from Ipswich to North Pembrokeshire, which I do as often as I possibly can, it takes you on that road past Abergavenny and past a certain well-known pub. Here's where Google falls down. Because a couple of times on that road, I pulled over and I thought, I wonder if I could actually call in and see Fugubrious and maybe have a little jar.
The duck and cuckoo. Or the goose and cuckoo.
That's the one. Now, a couple of times I haven't actually been in, but I've Googled it a couple of times while being on that road in Abergavenny, which is where the goose and cuckoo is. And Google thinks I've been, and I keep getting messages from Google saying, please review your visit to the Goose and Cuckoo. And I've never actually been there. I mean, I'm close to it, yes.
Yeah.
But never actually been.
Yeah, I don't do any of those things anymore, and I get them on a regular basis. You just bought this product from us. Could you please rate it on a scale of 1 to 5? Because I've tried that, and I hit the 5, because I'm usually pleased, and, of course, anything less than 5 is an insult these days. You can't... If you arrive alive in a taxi, you've got to give them 5 stars, otherwise they'll set fire to your house, metaphorically speaking.
Indeed.
So you hit 5, and then it takes you to a website, and that's not the end of the procedure, which I always assume that it is. That's just the beginning of it. And they say, why have you given us this score? Please write your reason in the box below. And there's a continue button at the bottom, and I just... Right, pleased, exclamation mark, a happy smiley face, and then hit to continue, thinking that, that will be the end of it. But it isn't. They say, you have written an insufficient amount of praise. They do. You have to write at least 100 characters before we're allowing you to continue on this torturous process. So I just don't do any of that anymore. They can go to hell.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, good work. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank you.
Ta-da. The Ipswich Town Chair and Chief Executive Mark Ashton has apologised for, quotes, any hurt, pain or distress. Distress caused by Nigel Fagash's visit to Portman Road this week. Fagash visited the club on Monday with footage of his trip, including but not limited to images of the Reform UK leader holding up an Ipswich number 10 shirt with his name on the back. The club said on Tuesday that it remained apolitical. I think not. It remained apolitical after Ipswich fans showed their displeasure on social media. They said...
No!
Yeah. Supporters described the visit as shameful and embarrassing. Well, I'm looking at a picture of it now, and that is embarrassing. It's several shades of embarrassing. What a way to run a club, eh? 0345-6060-973.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A defenceless defence secretary, all at sea over the numbers.
We have
17 frigates and destroyers.
But next week, it's issues closer to home with the business of business rates.
We are putting in a number of reliefs for hospitality. We're doing so in a way that is progressive.
And as hospitality firms prepare for rocketing costs in awful April...
It's a particularly challenging time at the moment. It's why the government needs to prioritise supporting this sector.
Is it now last orders for a sector crying out for help?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back Monday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
The Paramount Plus spring sale is on with over 60% off Paramount Plus. Sign up to stream every episode of exclusive shows like the critically acclaimed hit Landman, brand new series The Madison starring Michelle Pfeiffer and Kurt Russell, and new Yellowstone series Marshals. All for only $2.99 a month, only on Paramount Plus. But hurry, offer ends Tuesday. Standard monthly plan only for eligible customers. Saving when compared to the full regular monthly price. After 2 months, auto renews at $7.99 a month unless cancelled. 18 plus T's and C's apply.
My name is Paul, and this is my NHS story. I started to notice that the hip was becoming numb. The GP referred me for an X-ray. And just being informed, being kept in the loop, I feel much better in myself, and I feel confident about how the future is going to unfold.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
When it comes to retirement advice, the last thing you want is to be put in a bucket. Seen as this type of person, or that type of person. At Fisher Investments UK, we never put you in a bucket. We always tailor retirement advice that's just right for you. Fisher Investments UK, retirement advice that's as individual as you are. Learn more at fisherinvestments.co.uk. Investing involves the risk of loss. Fisher Investments UK is regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This is preposterous!
No doubt. Geordie Nige says, just wondered why your program has never mentioned any of my text messages for the last few years. Maybe it's because I'm called Nigel. But I've realised now that I've been using the wrong number to send my messages to. What an idiot I am. Perhaps I could become POTUS number 48. Anyhow, last night one of your callers got a Sopranos DVD box set for £30. That is music to my ears. You can get the Sopranos for three tenors. Oh, no. I've been sideswiped. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
I'd like to apologise to whoever it is that he's been sending all his messages to for the last couple of years. It's got nothing to do with me. Not my fault. 0345 6060 973. Worthing. Hello, Matt.
Nick.
Matt.
I had some trouble getting some diesel earlier.
Did you?
They put in £55.30 worth of diesel, went in to pay for it. I had cash, and I gave him six tenors.
Yeah.
And for ages, and seemed a bit... It just seemed to be, like, a bit discombobulated, and then finally said, oh, do you want a receipt? And I said, yeah. He gave me the receipt, but didn't give me any change.
not familiar with money.
He said, did I not give it to you? I said, well, no. And then he gave me another receipt. I know. Give me any change. It's like...
I don't know what's going on with phones tonight, but yours isn't coming through very clearly at all, Matt. It's chopping up your words like you're putting them in a blender.
Hello? Is that better?
Hello? Yes? Okay, let's try that.
Yeah. But then he gave me 97p. I was like, well, it's £4.97, it's £55.3p. And eventually he just, like, dunked £4 and said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. anyway...
Kids don't know how to add up. They just don't. I mean, it is a skill, and the more you do it, the better you get at it. But I suppose it's just a function of that nobody pays with money anymore. I mean, I don't even take any out the house. I can't remember the last time I used it, money. Because everyone just does the boop and go.
Yeah. The whole exchange seemed to go on for so long, and eventually I just walked out and was a bit kind of disgruntled with the whole...
Maybe he was waiting for the price to go up so he could charge you more.
I do feel sorry for those people, though. They must be sick of every single person that goes in wants to discuss the price of fuel.
Right.
I was going to talk to you about the Mail Online. Unfortunately, I went on there earlier, and they were talking on there about... they're talking about Trump and war porn.
Mm-hmm.
How in the Situation Room, how they have to bring in videos every day of stuff blowing up.
Yes, that's right.
And they sit there and they said the bomb, bomb, bang, bang footage that has been warping Trump's sense of how the war is playing out.
Yeah.
So they just have to go and show him stuff blowing out. And Caroline Levitt...
Bomb, bomb, bang, bang. Not boom, bang, a bang. That's something else.
Rock and roll!
Yeah. But apparently Caroline Levitt was saying it's a false assertion.
Yeah.
And...
only know it's true if Caroline Levitt says it's not.
She said herself that anyone who has been present for conversations with President Trump knows he actively seeks and solicits the opinions of everyone in the room and expects full-throated honesty from all his top advisors.
Sure,
I think she might want to have heard that a little differently if they're talking about... But, also, they're saying that, one of their aircraft carriers, the... cost £13 billion.
Yes.
Having problems, they're having to back it off now out of the war situation because the toilets won't work.
Yeah, the USS Gerald R. Ford. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a slight issue in the fire's breaking out in the laundry room. You think for £13 billion, you might get a little bit of
£13 million doesn't buy you what it used to. That's for sure.
Exactly.
All right. Good work, Matt. Leave it to me. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, the headline is Trump hooked on war porn? President Donald Trump would like the world to think a ceasefire with Iran is still possible, but within the bowels of the Pentagon and the White House, his military commanders are preparing something very different. Anonymous Defense Department sources are warning us to expect the final blow, a massive air, sea and land assault to open the Strait of Hormuz, save the world economy and crush Tehran's resistance once and for all. that's what would happen if Disney was making this film. The plans are shrouded in mystery, of course. The scope and the timetable keeps shifting. The only certainty is that the action, when it takes place, will be recorded on camera, and the explosion-filled footage will be edited into short video compilations to impress the commander-in-chief. Officials from the U.S. Central Command are not only obliged to ensure that America's increasingly complex operations in the Middle East run smoothly. According to high-level sources, the top brass must also, on a daily basis, feed their screen-addicted president a satisfying stream of, quotes, stuff blowing up. This is why he thinks that the war is going great. It's because all he sees is stuff blowing up. Ever since Operation Epic Fury, stupidest name for an operation of any kind ever. I mean, what are these people, 12? Operation Epic Fury, crying out loud. Ever since it began a month ago with the first bomb... It's a month old. It began a month ago with the first bombings of Iran. Trump's workday routine has included regular sit-downs in the White House Situation Room. Workday routine. There, in every session, his team is reportedly shown strike montages, which last 2 or 3 minutes, feature satellite or aircraft footage of Iranian targets being pulverized into smoke and dust. Not all of them, of course. The videos are more of a highlights package, because there's just so much stuff blowing up. They can't fit it in all, fit it all into the 3-minute clip. Many in Washington are concerned that Trump and his team have become hooked on destruction porn to the detriment of strategic wisdom. Wisdom? Wisdom has left the building. Even among Republicans, there is deep disquiet, says the Mail. Yesterday, it was reported that senior figures have stormed out of a secret Iran briefing on Wednesday, claiming to have been misled by the administration's true objectives. Like, they ain't got no strategy.
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
Yeah, with the midterm elections grinding into action, the campaign, the fear among growing numbers of fellow Americans, including parts of his MAGA base, is that the 47th president has lost touch with reality.
What do I know about it? All I know is what's on the internet.
Yeah, I'll nutshell that for you.
I know nothing.
He don't know nothing. It's not like he's a doctor or anything.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. Good grief. He's spending days gawping at stuff being blown up. Your husband is addicted to war porn, Malaria.
I don't care.
Not that bothered. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, I want to talk about that US aircraft carrier. They've got big problems. Some nerve telling us that our boats are like toys. His don't work at all. I also want to talk about the new Ayatollah. And there's this Easter egg roll controversy and working from home. And they're talking about... you remember, I think it was back in the 1970s, that people with an even or odd-numbered number plate were only allowed to fill up on those particular, on one or other particular day. Did any of that make sense?
No.
Talking about rationing of petrol.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So all that and more to come after the new news at 11 o'clock on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the French president has appealed for calm over fears Iraq may be dragged into the US-Israeli war with Iran. Emmanuel Macron says everything must be done to avoid it being involved in what he's called ongoing escalation. In the last half hour, security sources have said a drone's been shot down near the residence of the leader of Iraq's Kurdish ruling party. Chris Doyle is from the Council for Arab-British Understanding. He's been telling LBC peace seems a long way off.
Right at the beginning of this war in Iran, this was going to be over in days. At one point, President Trump said that they'd won the war on day one. Well, it's 28 days now, and this war, or excursion as he once referred it to, is very much still on. And if anything, it's escalating. It's spreading.
Officials in Dubai say the loud noises heard there this evening were for airstrikes which were being intercepted. The United Arab Emirates has been repeatedly targeted by Iran. It's because of its military partnership with the US. 18 people have been arrested in central London during a demonstration in support of the banned group Palestine Action. They were detained outside New Scotland Yard. An appeal has been lodged against a government high court ruling that the government's banning of the organisation was unlawful. Four people are being held on the suspicion of murder after the death of a young woman in West Yorkshire. Police in Leeds say she was found in a street in the Allsthorpe area earlier this morning. More now from LBC's Yorkshire correspondent Alex Taylor-Brown.
Police were called to Kennelly Avenue on Saturday morning at around 5 to 6. A woman who's yet to be identified and believed to be in her teens was found unconscious and later died in hospital. Two 18-year-old women, a 17-year-old boy and a 20-year-old man have been arrested on suspicion of murder. Police are describing it as a complex investigation.
Police in France have detained a suspect after preventing a bomb attack on a building used by the Bank of America in Paris. It happened not far from the Champs-Élysées and is being investigated by French anti-terrorism police. And in sport, Scotland have lost the first of three World Cup warm-up matches with a 1-0 defeat to Japan. Steve Clark's side will next meet Ivory Coast on Tuesday. LBC weather, dry with clear spells for most areas overnight before a band of rain and cloud moves into Northern Ireland and Scotland. Cold with a widespread frost and a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
This is absolute tosh. Dude!
The International Energy Agency, the IEA, has urged people to work from home as the Iran war intensifies the energy crisis sweeping the globe. It does rather underline the fact that everything is so interconnected. Everything is delivered just in time. We're all teetering on the edge of catastrophe. If everything goes all right, then it looks as though we're all walking on concrete. If just one thing goes wrong, it's like we're all walking on jelly. The IEA, the International Energy Agency, has urged people to work from home as the Iran war intensifies the energy crisis sweeping the globe. It didn't take long, did it? And it's going to put a dent in certain individuals who insist that we should stop working from home.
I'm a nutcase.
The IEA said that people should limit commuting where possible as the worldwide energy shock becomes more and more severe. It released a 10-point set of actions that it said could be implemented quickly by governments, businesses and households. That's a 10-point set of actions. That's 10 points more than the Trump administration had as the direction of this war when they started it.
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
Zero strategy. They just thought, oh, well, let's try this for a while. They got the president of the Board of Peace, got Board of Peace, and they started to try war for a while. See what happens. Top of the 10-point set of actions was a request to work from home where possible because it reduces fuel demand for commuting. Well, doesn't that rather puncture the argument that it is beneficial for us all to commute 5 days a week? You know, beneficial for the economy. I mean, if it reduces fuel demand, shouldn't we be doing that already? Doesn't that make more sense than getting up hours before you want to and packing yourself into a train or a bus or a car to sit in a traffic jam alongside the miserable faces of everybody else who's forced to do the same blooming thing? I mean, it was one of the few good things that came from the Invisible Menace years, you know, the pandemic, that we were lucky to have lived through.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yes, Bodge. Most of us survived your leadership, even though most of the time it seemed like you were trying to kill us. Were you trying to kill us?
I can't comment on that.
So to cut fuel across both passenger and vehicles and freight, the International Energy Agency also urged governments to lower high-wage speed limits by at least 10 kilometres an hour.
What?
Well, that's right out. We'd rather run out of petrol altogether than have to drive slower. The war in the Middle East has caused the largest ever disruption to global supplies in history. The Paris-based organisation, the IEA, the International Energy Agency, said. French people, eh? Around 20 million barrels of oil a day and oil products typically transit the Strait of Hormuz every day, but this has slowed to what the IEA called a trickle. Last week, they launched the largest ever release of global oil reserves to alleviate the crisis, totaling 400 million barrels, which sounds like a lot, but it's just 4 days' worth. We chew through, the human race chews through 100 million barrels a day. Isn't that astonishing? That's actually true. 100 million barrels of oil we burn every day. I think that's what's called a life out of balance. And you should be on high alert for charlatans in Union Jack socks who say that we should burn more of it. Question where they're getting their money from. They won't tell you, but it might make them shut up for a bit. 0345 6060 973. Let's have Plumstead. Hello, Phil.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Phil,
love your show. Been
Thanks.
Listening for a very much long time.
Ah.
I wonder if you were you on the march today? The march against the far right.
No, I don't do anything on a work day except work.
Oh, that's old fashioned. It was enormous, right? I stood at Hyde Park Corner. Looking down Piccadilly, Whitehall,
yeah.
Rammed. It was an awesome. Now, look, just, I'm very old. I'm 70, but I went on the 1978 march from Trafalgar Square to Victoria Park for the Anti-Nazi League Rock Against Racism.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 80,000, and it was the beginning of the end of the National Front, which was very, very strong at that point.
1978. And, who was playing?
Yeah. A Clash were the top band at the carnival, and it was just an incredible day.
Yeah.
Although I went back to Woolwich and had a curry, so, you know, yeah, I went a bit wild that night. But I just want to say how refreshing it was today to see such, you know, an enormous amount of people. I think it was more than 80,000 there today.
People are saying, I mean, you know, opinions vary, but I read 500,000.
Yes, I heard that on the news tonight. Yeah, I was scouting through the news, you know, to see it, and the aerial shots were incredible. Yeah, yeah.
And how many people were rioting during the course of this this march?
Oh, half a million. No one.
Zero. Zero people rioting. Yeah, yeah. Zero fights. Zero scaffolding poles getting put through windows. Like Union Jacks being zip-tied halfway up a flagpole. Yeah, none of that, no.
Incredibly affable. Everyone's happy. Yeah. And, you know, and it was a very well-disciplined, lovely march.
Right. What a contrast.
Yeah.
And when you got to where you were going, what happened?
To where? I got into Whitehall and Billy Bragg was singing there.
Right.
I don't know how you feel about Billy Bragg.
Well, I don't own any of his music, but I have talked to him. I've talked to him on my Serious Sunday show, and he seemed like an affable chap.
Very much so. Very much so. And it reminded me of 1978 in a way, but. I'm sure he would have liked to have seen the Clash. He was probably there watching the Clash. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I was doing in 1978. I was at my first year at uni.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I didn't go, because the Clash is one of the few punk bands I didn't see. I didn't see the Clash, and I didn't see the Pistols. I missed the Sex Pistols by just a couple of months, because they played at my university, but just before I got there.
Oh, where was that? What was your uni?
Brunel.
Oh, God, you weren't that far away. No, that's right. Yeah.
I could have hopped on a tube and been there in, like, about an hour.
Well, we've all done it, and we miss those great bands. Oh, I mean, I saw the Clash at Lewisham Odeon in 79, and all these kids came in, you know, working-class kids, they weren't allowed in. They had to take their boots off. So there was, when I arrived, there was hundreds of pairs of boots, because the kids couldn't go in to see the Clash, so they took all their Dr. Martens off.
Yeah, every single pair of them, a pair of cherry red DMs, I bet.
Yeah, that's all you could see on the ground floor of the Lewisham Odeon.
Well, that's just bizarre. Why weren't they allowed to take their boots in?
I suppose it would go off, but of course everyone was on the left and anti-racist, and it was a wonderful night, you know. Mm.
Well, the most alarming scenes of destruction I ever saw at a gig was the first tour in this country of AC/DC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I saw in Edinburgh. It was the Sounds Lock Up Your Daughters tour, and the place was disassembled.
Right,
I mean, the seats were bolted to the floor, but that did not prove an impediment to the kids who wanted to rip them up and start chucking them about.
Yeah, well, they were committed, I suppose, or should have been committed.
They should have been, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about you know, we marched from Trafalgar Square to Victoria Park in Hackney in 78, which is a hell of a way, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And we were marching down Bethnal High Street, and there were fascists, you know, protecting their pub from the likes of us lot, you know. And one guy swung at me, you know, and the police said, I said to a copper, aren't you supposed to stop this sort of thing? Mm. But anyway.
Good times, yeah. All right. Glad to hear it. Thanks a lot, Phil. Cheers. 0345-6060-973. Lucy says, I think Pumpkin Putin is going to throw Jumping Jack Flash, Pete Kegsbreath, under the bus very soon. This week he blamed him for starting the war. He blamed who? Who's he in this and who's him? He is not going to take the rap for this, so Hegg will be on the chopping block, you'll see. That was very, very confusing, Lucy. I'm not quite sure who it was that was doing what to whom. Never mind. Moving on. Rugby. Hello, Owen.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Good,
okay?
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a Hegg's will roll, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
I was just sort of just really phoned up just to talk about diesel prices today. And I was on the way. I've been up in Scotland for a week. And the difference between going up and coming back was about 30 quid for a tank of diesel. And coming back, it was like 1.93 the captive audience on the motorway.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, well, that's no indication of anything. I mean, that is absolutely outrageous what they charge on motorways.
Isn't it bad though? 193.
That is shocking.
Well, I did think of sort of it just sort of amused me later on in the day. I saw Melanomia's book been reduced to 99 cents a copy. I thought maybe we could go back to the age of steam and maybe shove a book in as fuel for the boilers. You know,
that sounds like a good idea. Yes.
Yeah, well, it does have the Trumpian pollutants in the atmosphere problem, doesn't it? But. Yeah, another sort of a couple of things I had in mind was a couple of names for the Tangerine Tyrant.
Go on.
And so, given his sort of his love for being a dictator and his military genius, thought of Emperor Napoleon I Bony Spurs. And
Emperor what?
Emperor Napoleon I Bony Spurs.
Now that's going to take me a while to write down. Give me a moment, Emperor Napoleon I.
Bony Spurs.
Did you come up with that yourself?
I did indeed on the way. That's one of us being choking myself today with the price of diesel on the way back.
Okay, what else have you got?
And the other one was, you know when he was on the plane and he called somebody a little piggy?
Yeah, quiet piggy.
And yeah, that's the one. And I just thought of myself like a Porky Wig.
Porky Wig?
Yeah, but rather than Porky Pig.
Porky Wig. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you have to explain it, it really works, but maybe that's just me being dense. Porky Wig. Right, yeah, okay.
Maybe it's too late in the evening, mate. Yeah.
Duly noted. All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Owen. Sorry to hear about that whole diesel price issue. Yeah, we're being urged to work from home and use ovens less. Use ovens less? Amid mounting concerns over global supply chains, the International Energy Watchdog has issued advice to cut down on car use and cook with air fryers. As households start to feel the Trumpflation impact from the Iran war with oil and gas prices spiking. Well, I'm absolutely not going to do that. Air fryers can't cook nothing. Downing Street stressed that the IEA advice was not official in the UK, saying people should behave normally. Normally?
Oh, no.
No. Don't behave normally. Try to behave better than that. The IEA is not the Institute of Economic Affairs.
No!
Not them. It's the International Energy Agency. The PM's official spokesmodel says this is the IEA's general advice for countries across the world. It is not in place in the UK. We're better than that, said the PM's official spokesmodel. We're British, damn it. And we don't need no education from the International Energy Agency. We don't need no thought control. The government said we have a diverse and resilient supply. People in the UK should continue to go about their days in the normal fashion. No, no more normal. This country should be a no-normal zone. We should be charging towards total independence from fossil fuels. Let's bin oil and gas as quick as we can and bin the oily charlatans who are trying to get us more addicted to them. As everyone knows, because we're all the Strait of Hormuz experts now, a fifth of global oil supplies are shipped through the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran has effectively shut since the start of the war, in an entirely predictable response. Predictable to anyone that thought about it for a single solitary second. Predictable to everyone except the people that started the fighting. You know, those geniuses. Iran threatened full-scale economic war before striking Qatar's main liquefied natural gas facility. The chief executive of Qatar Energy said the attacks on gas facilities would take between 3 and 5 years to repair. Experts estimate energy bills could go up by more than a fifth when the cap next changes in July. And the International Energy Agency stressed that member states have already agreed to release 400 million barrels of oil, like I said, from reserves to prop up supplies. But that's 4 days worth. Sounds like a lot. 400 million barrels is 4 days worth. How absurd that we are using something that is the basis of the modern world, oil. It's a finite resource, and we're taking it out of the ground and we're setting fire to it. How stupid are we? And now we have the technology not to have to do that for the benefit of, moving forward and moving at all. We're still subject to people telling us, no, don't take your power from the sun or the wind or the waves. Continue doing the stupid thing that you're doing. You should always ask where those people are getting their money from, because the answer seems fairly obvious to me. Meanwhile, the Bank of England warned that the growing conflict in the Middle East could send inflation spiralling and trigger a surge in unemployment. Like we don't have a problem with that already. What with AI?
Affirmative.
Going to be firing everybody. Markets have been placing bets on three base rate increases of a quarter point. Bets. That's what this country's economy is based on. People placing bets. That's what the financial finaglers are doing. The gamblers. Fancy gamblers, right enough, and they don't describe it in those terms, but that's what they're doing. Many of the cheapest mortgage deals have been withdrawn in recent days. Most energy deals offering rates below the price cap have also been pulled. And two more interest rate cuts this year were being predicted, but these expectations have been thrown into reverse as experts warn that the world faces tripling Trumpflation. That's what they're calling it, except around Uncle Donnie. None of the people that he has surrounded himself with have got the nerve to say a single solitary word against him. Like they've been employed by the mafia.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they are petrified of him. Every single one of them has removed their spine and have prostrated themselves in front of him and begged him to use them as a floor mat. Aviation chiefs warn that travellers will face a summer of price rises and cancellations as a global shortage of jet fuel will start to bite. Yeah, but apart from that, how's everything going?
Oh, fabulous.
What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
0345-6060-973, LBC.
This is LBC.
What makes a special date memorable? What if that date won you a life-changing £1 million? Every week with a birthday draw, there's £1 million to be won. And you can enter from as little as £1, or via post. Enter by midnight tomorrow, and you could win £1 million. Visit thebirthdaydraw.com. Is it your lucky day? From Global and ITV. 18 plus, UK only, no purchase necessary.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Oh dear.
0345-6060-973. Matt says we're going to lose an hour at 1 a.m. Go to bed, sheeple. It's later than you think. We are finally about to move into the light, and around about this time, you just assume that the weather is going to get better, but it's not gonna. Not going to get better, not for at least a couple of weeks. So that's what my app says. Yeah, we'll get a lot of extra light, but it's going to be too blooming cold and wet and miserable to go out there and enjoy it. Oh, well, never mind. Tiago, Bristol.
Oh, hi, Nick. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
I thought I'd give you a call and tell you why calls from abroad are so much better and clearer than the ones from the UK, if you'd be interested to know.
Calls from abroad are much clearer than they are from the UK. That is correct. Yes.
Do you know why?
As a bell. Go on.
Well, so there's the thing. I'm not going to talk about, like, codecs and hertz and stuff, because I barely understand that. So
I don't want to hear about that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
So I'm going to maybe use metaphor, and by the end of it, we either really understand it, or you'll be way much more confused than we started.
Okay, let's press on and find out.
Fair enough. Okay, so imagine, like, if sound as a picture. Here in the UK, it's like we're taking a picture of one of those kind of flash powder
cameras and sending it on horseback to the other side, you know, where it's received in that poor quality. When we receive a call from a network case from the outside, imagine it's being taken by a digital camera. It travels digitally. Hmm. When it gets here, it still travels on horseback, but is a much clearer picture.
No, so, I don't understand why. But why? If I'm standing in Australia and I'm using my phone, then when I use my phone, the signal is going from my phone to the nearest mast, and then whatever happens there thereafter, I've got no idea. It goes in a cable under the sea, and then it pops up in this country and is sent from a mast to wherever I'm holding my phone.
But
the exact same thing is happening if I'm holding a phone in London, calling another person in London, the difference being that you can't hear somebody when you're calling within the same country, but you can if they're calling from as far away as it's possible to get on this planet.
Is the compression at the source? When it's captured at the source outside the UK, it's capturing a much better quality. So when it's traveling through the air and through the cables, it is a superior...
Why though?
Because they have better infrastructure.
I don't believe that.
Look it up.
What do you mean, look it up? Everywhere on Earth has better infrastructure as with their telecommunications than we do here. I don't believe you.
Well, didn't we have the whole thing about Huawei and the 5G, and they put it up and they took it down, and we never went putting it up again, and now we lost the 5G and we lose the
4G. I don't think phone calls have got anything to do with 5G, do they?
Well, I mean, it's the relative care.
I'm beginning to think that you don't know what you're talking about, Tiago, which makes two of us.
that doesn't surprise anybody.
Yeah.
Another topic then, if you allow me the time.
Go on.
I, as a worker on the film and TV industry, I have to
As a worker on the what?
Film and television industry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I need to come to defense of British drama. Right. I know you love Sopranos, and I know you love Breaking Bad. They're fantastic shows, and I totally get that there's the moaners and complainers, and I don't know. Perhaps you're comparing the likes of EastEnders with Breaking Bad.
I've never seen EastEnders. I've never seen EastEnders. I've never seen Coronation Street. I've never seen Emmerdale or any of those programs.
Very wise choices you've made there.
Thank you.
The thing is, like, I think the UK, perhaps we don't do as well as, like, long 24, 13 episode shows, but we got to give credit to the kind of, like, limited series and the 8 episode stuff.
I'm not sure.
Like, Adolescence, for example.
The problem with British drama, or TV in general, is that it's grey and depressing.
But how about, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a cheery show, but how about Slow Horses, for example?
Well, what's it about?
It's like Gary Oldman, isn't it? It's about, like, a division of MI5 where all kind of problematic spies are put to work. So no one wants to work with them, so they put them on this kind of, like, faraway office in Slough.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm prepared to give that a go. Yes. Just as long as it's not about murdering women, which seems to be the topic of every British drama that's ever been made. It's all about murdering women.
I could crunch the numbers for you.
I've got a man that can crunch numbers.
And one,
3,
6 million.
No.
Well, I like to think I can paint a less dire picture of the British drama landscape. How about The Night Manager? Have you seen it?
No, okay, I'll give you that one. The Night Manager is very good, yes.
Yeah, and also in 2019, BBC had one called Mother, Father, Son. It's a limited series, so you get a payoff. You don't have to be waiting, cliffhangers, nothing.
Right.
And it has Richard Gere in it, and he plays a kind of like Rupert Murdoch.
Well, that's not British then.
No, but it was made in the UK, and is a UK-based drama.
Well, you know, some of Star Wars was made in the UK. That doesn't make it British.
No, but it's kind of like Helen McCrory, the late Helen McCrory is on there, and it's based on a media tycoon that owns a newspaper in the UK. So it is a very British story.
All right. Okay, well, I'm prepared to see that too.
Oh, that's great. I'll follow up on it.
Yeah, okay. Good luck with your following up. All right, thanks a lot, Tiago. I tell you one thing that I did see that was British through and through. Or at least the people on the screen were, and the place that it was set was, so I'm going to assume it was 100% British. It was a film on, I think it was Netflix the other day I saw it. It was called The Thursday Murder Club. Very, very good. Absolutely stuffed full of huge stars. Helen Mirren was in it. Pierce Brosnan was in it. Other people whose name I can't remember right now, but you think, oh, I know him. You know, all the way through, you're going to be thinking, oh, God, he's in it too. And she's in it. It was excellent, actually. If it's the kind of thing that you can watch with parents. It's very difficult picking something that you can watch with your parents, I find. Because, you know, they'll start swearing, and you don't really want that. And then they'll start doing, you know, all sorts of things.
Disgusting.
And you don't want that either. And so I picked that. I thought, I'll probably be on safe ground here. And I was. I recommend it to the house. The Thursday... Now, it is about murder, right enough, but the murder itself doesn't really take up much of the screen time. Thursday Murder Club. I think you'll love it. 0345 6060973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 11:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
The French president's been appealing for calm over fears Iraq may be dragged into the US-Israeli war with Iran. This evening, security sources have said a drone's been shot down near the residence of the leader of Iraq's Kurdish ruling party. 18 people have been arrested in central London during a demonstration in support of the banned group Palestine Action. They were detained outside New Scotland Yard, and police in France have detained a suspect after preventing a bomb attack on a building used by the Bank of America in Paris. It happened close to the Champs-Élysées and is being investigated by French anti-terrorism police. LBC weather, dry with clear spells for most areas overnight before a band of rain and cloud moves into Northern Ireland and Scotland, cold with a widespread frost and a low of around 1 degree.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is a shameful, this is a shambles.
Straight to the point.
How was that allowed to happen?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Show some evidence, Minister.
Listen on our free global player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
My name is Karen and this is my NHS story. You don't realise how blind you are until you have cataract surgery. I was referred to a surgical hub and they booked us in for an operation. It was about 3 weeks before I was there. It's very, very quick.
The government is opening more surgical hubs with more than 120 already operating across England, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS fit for the future.
Chase is the digital bank that boosts your savings to 4.5% AER variable.
A boost?
Yep. It includes a 2.25% AER boost for the first 12 months.
Are they being boosted now?
All the time. Bedtime, gym time, romantic dinner time. And soon you could boost your way to...
Ah, beach time.
Boost your savings with Chase. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross interest paid monthly. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny.
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. If you are a landlord and you have existing tenants, you must send them a copy of the government's information sheet by the 31st of May, or risk a fine. Find out more at gov.uk/renting is changing.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
What's he got to be depressed about?
Oh, blimey, where do I even begin? Matt says, we're going to lose an hour at 1 o'clock. We're going to lose an hour at 1 o'clock. Be prepared. Matthew says, good evening, Nick. In honour of your mention last night, I spent my Saturday evening watching Mad Max Fury Road. The recent, not terrible one. Yeah. Absolutely epic. One of the best action films of all time. Not the more recent one, but that one. Fury Road. Mark in Streatham says, here's a Trump name for your 2026 list. Commander in Sleep. Yeah, okay. That's on the list. I'm compiling a huge list. The last list is in the book, What I Wrote at the End of Last Year. It's my take on the months as they unfolded. It's got the A to Z of the year in the back. It's got the list of Donald Trump names that we came up with. And the Donald Trump bingo card. It's all in there. It's on the Kindle store. Paperback for people who hate trees. Ebook form for eco-woke hippies. It's called Thank You for Your Attention to This Matter.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kindle store. I'm going to cough. Helen in Lancashire says, why aren't my WhatsApps ever read out by on your show? Why aren't my WhatsApps ever read out by on your show? Because you don't write well them, Helen. You get the words wrong order in. 0345-6060-973. Merthyr Tydfil. Hello, Jeff.
How are you doing, Nick?
Yes, right? Very well, thanks.
Good.
You're sounding particularly lugubrious this evening.
Yeah, I got a bit of a chest.
Oh, really?
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The point, I needed my soul restoring after all this unmitigated evil that's taking place in the world. You know, Trump and the Ukraine and
all that.
And everything that's going
on. Everything.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, get a walk, see all the lambs.
Oh, bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. And then they get a bolt through the forehead and served up for dinner. You believe that?
The daffodils are dying back already.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Some trees haven't even started their leafing yet, and other trees have dropped all their blossom on the ground.
Yep. Red kite flies past me.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. The grass is luminous green at the moment.
Is it?
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you should tell him about it.
So the end result of that is, you know, I saw a local farmer there, and he had two lambs. He's carrying two lambs.
Uh-huh.
One of the sheep had strangled itself in the fence.
Well, this is not funny.
It's not. No, it's not. So then I had another experience. I don't know if have you ever seen a cat kill a rat?
Have I ever seen a cat kill a rat? No. If I were a cat, I think I'd run in the opposite direction, wouldn't you?
Yes. If they can corner it, you know this expression, the cornered rat?
Yeah.
If they can corner it, the cat goes on to its side and the four claws are a blur as they lash this rat and pieces of the rat.
Oh. Play
off.
Oh, my God. Where did you see this?
It's horrific. It is.
Where did you see this?
In a barn once, years ago, I was loading spuds somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the rat got cornered, and the cat lay on its side, and the forepaws were blue as they lashed this rat. And everybody had to take cover because the pieces of the rat.
That's just way too much information.
Yeah, well, it's restoring your soul, isn't it? The thing is, people are phoning in and saying they don't like the Sopranos.
Yes, ridiculous.
And you don't mention ever that it is in fact a tale that used to be told for all time. It's a tale of untold power, the power of life and death and how it corrupts. And nobody seems to have grasped that, including you, right?
I don't think it's got anything to do with that. I think it's a family man whose family is falling apart, and his business is very difficult, but he can't manage the one and the other at the same time. And he's sort of reacting mentally badly to everything that seems to be flying away from him. Yeah,
it's a morality tale for our time. the power of life and death. He's Trump, isn't he? Mm. He has the power of life.
A little bit, yeah.
And his world is falling apart.
I mean, it really says something that I think I would prefer Tony Soprano to be in charge of America than the person who actually is. I think we'd be in a much better position if Tony Soprano was the president of the United States of America.
You must look at the whole series, and you plowed through it four times,
yeah,
like I have. Uh-huh. And I've looked in the insight that has in on human nature and the way it behaves is brilliant. It's one of the. It is a morality tale. And nobody seems to accept that.
Well, it's a comedy. And you don't realise it's a comedy when you watch it the first time because you're terrified about what might happen next. Who's going to die next, you think? And it's it's very, very, like, edge of the seat. Oh, no, you're very kind of, what awful thing might befall you next, but before your favourite character. Because even if they're regular characters, it doesn't mean to say that they're going to live very long. But once you've seen it once and you know where all the bad bits are coming, then you can sort of relax into it a bit more, and then you really do appreciate how funny it is.
It has comedy, it has all human life is there. Yeah. But you've got to look for real meaning there, and nobody seems to do that.
Well, it sounds like work. I'm not prepared to actually work. I watch television in order not to work or think.
Okay, I made another attempt with the committee, but they've refused again, so you're okay. You can go to the committee.
The committee is on its side, and it's thrashing its paws in your direction. Yeah, chunks of you flying hither and thither. But, good luck with your chest there, Jeff. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Martin says, in regards to TV shows, have you ever seen The Walking Dead? No. Brilliant show, and it's awfully similar to a reform party conference. At least with zombies, they want brains, whereas reform voters don't know how to use theirs. Wow, that is shocking. It's a little bit biased, I think, Martin. Tracy says, never mind that, Nick. Diesel is between 20p and 35 pence more than unleaded now, and it was 4p more before. Before this nutter Trump decided to make an unprovoked attack, he should be behind bars. Saw it at 189.99p at a Shell garage in Upminster. How are they getting away with pricing something in hundredths of a penny? How? I don't get it. How is it in hundredths of a penny? 189.99p. What is the difference between 189.99 and 190? Apart from 190 looks more. I mean, they're pricing petrol now like they used to price shoes. Except the 0.99 used to be 99 pence. This is 0.99 of a penny. How is that legal? And why is it never, ever, the bill, when you stop the pump, is in a round number of pennies? How? If it's 0.99p. I don't get it. Why is it? I mean, I think I'm the only person who's ever said this out loud. Everybody else is just think, well, that's how it is. 0.99 of a p. Barry says the Titanic had more chance of survival than the UK has. Wow. That's an alarmingly bad thing to say. But I do have aircraft carrier news. Now, this is just after Donald Trump called his Majesty's boats toys. Donald Trump described Britain's aircraft carriers as toys compared to what we have. That's what he said in his latest swipe at the UK's lack of support for his demented war against Iran.
We have very big toys and they have very small toys. Tiny, tiny. You can't even see them. They're so small. Very sad,
said Donald Trump. The President of the United States of America stopped admiring the looks of a woman who was interviewing him on Fox News long enough to take another unhinged swing at the same country he told not to bother sending ships to help him out of the hole he'd dug himself in. And then he asked if we could send our ships to help him out of the hole that he had dug himself in.
I won the war very strongly, and I don't need your help, but please help because I need your help.
Speaking to reporters at the White House on Thursday, the president said the British said that we will send our aircraft carriers, which aren't the best aircraft carriers, by the way. They are toys compared to what we have. We'll send our aircraft carrier when the war is over. I said, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. Don't bother. Yeah, good idea. We shouldn't bother. Let's not bother getting into a war started by a man whose wig glue seems to be seeping into his brain.
I don't wear a toupee.
Emperor Squeaky Tank said he was very disappointed by our Prime Minister's decision at the start of the conflict not to permit the use of the UK-US Diego Garcia base to target Iran using what Trump called that big, beautiful B-2 bomber. You know, because blowing up 15,000 sites in Iran isn't enough somehow. Blowing up a few more would really have made all the difference. Meanwhile, Downing Street rejected Trump's claims that it offered to send either HMS Queen Elizabeth or the fleet flagship HMS Prince of Wales to the Middle East. So the Trump now says the thing that he doesn't want us to do, send our ships to help him win this war, that he said he's already won, we weren't going to do anyway. It's almost like he's incapable of telling the truth about anything. It's almost like Trump just creates his day out of nothing. Like an artist creates a picture on a blank canvas. Trump starts the day telling himself how huge and tremendous he is, and then he has his people come in and telling that everything is going very well at levels that no one has ever seen before, and he believes he's living in this perfect picture that he's just painted. Which would be okay if he was running a market stall. But he's not. He's running the whole market and the planet that it's sitting on.
A president! Can you believe it?
And our ability to wage a war is being called into question. At the moment, our world-famous Royal Navy has three dinghies and a surfboard, and two of the dinghies have sprung a leak and the surfboard doesn't float. And it's all Keir Starmer's fault.
No!
Except it isn't, is it? You know, because Keir Starmer should have made sure that the military was funded properly while the Conservatives were in power for 14 years and systematically degraded our military through cuts and lack of investment. It can't possibly have been the Conservative Party's fault because, and I have this on high authority, they were doing their best. Ain't that right, Blobby?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Military spending was 2.6% of GDP when the Tories took charge in 2010. 2.6. It went down to 1.9% when they misran the country for 14 dismal years. And the right-wingers seem to think that we are stupid enough to believe that the run-down state of the military is somehow Starmer's fault, and not the people who were in charge while it fell apart. You mean, the military is like a big, beautiful boat. It cannot be turned around on a sixpence. People under the age of 50 will have to ask their parents what a sixpence is. And by the way, we poor dopes who pay taxes are spending $75,000 million on what is called defence, which is usually a euphemism for attack. At least renaming the Department of Defence for the Department of War was an honest move by Trump. But he did it so that he would sound like a tough guy. But sometimes you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. $74.94 billion we spend on defence now. Only the US, China, Russia, India and Saudi Arabia spend more. And by the way, the US spends more than the combined spending of the next 10 highest spending countries combined. And Trump just said he wants another $200 billion to buy more things that go boom. If he spent one-tenth of that on aid programs for the poorest people on Earth, then 3 million of them wouldn't die this year. You know, but those are just facts, and nobody is remotely interested in those anymore. What about feelings now, baby? It doesn't matter if people die if you don't get an exciting video of it happening clipped to the music of AC/DC.
Rock and roll!
And the only reason we're not up to our armpits in the ordure with the Umba Bumbler is that steady sailing skier has shown patriotic reluctance to do to just whatever the President of the United States of America tells them to do. You know, if we were being run by Kemi Badenoch, would our boys be packing up their old kit bags and getting waved off from Portsmouth? If we were being run by the Clacton gas bag, would there even be a choice? Would we have already been given as a present to the Tangerine Scream as the 51st state of the USA by some oily charlatan in Union Jack socks? I don't know whether that's true. I'm just asking questions. And as the excursion or special military operation or whatever Trump is calling it now celebrates its one-month birthday, Trump's saying that the war is won and he doesn't need our help. And that also the war is far from over and he does need our help. And that the Strait of Hormuz is open and it's shut. And that Iran is being very mean to him and that it's so desperate for his affection that it's giving him gifts. And also that he has obliterated its nuclear program, but it still needs to be obliterated. And that he will destroy Iran's power plants last week unless they agree he is the most handsome person that ever lived, and he might blow up their power plants next week because of an insufficient amount of flattery. And it still hasn't stopped us talking about you-know-who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Donald Trump has a plan for Iran. Or rather, he has several plans simultaneously. These are not four stages of a coherent strategy. They are four different instincts from four different conversations from a president who appears to have no sense of what he's doing.
Hear every side of the story.
Does the British government think that obliterating Iranian power stations is a good or bad idea?
That is speculation.
He's made the threat. I'm just asking whether the British government thinks it's a good or bad idea. Quite simple question.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
My name is Chevy and this is my NHS story. Over a couple of days I was getting quite intense pain on the left side of my stomach. So I called my doctors and then was referred to the Eltham CDC. It was literally a seamless, stress-free day. There was no anxiety or worry.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
With a gift in your will to UNICEF, you'll know that the job of making a better world for every child is in good hands. It'll be the start of an incredible journey, connecting you with a powerful community of people working tirelessly to protect and nurture children so they're empowered to take on the world. To find out more about leaving a gift in your will that never stops working for children, search UNICEF Legacy for a free guide today.
Aye, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. If you are a landlord and you have existing tenants, you must send them a copy of the government's information sheet by the 31st of May, or risk a fine. Find out more at gov.uk/renting is changing.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Hot air. H-O-T-A-I-R.
Alex in Witham says, the war has been won, yet Iran is still firing missiles. Our ships are toys, yet he wants them to help with his illegal war. Iran's military has been destroyed, yet the Bend of Hormuz is closed. We know Adolf Schlesinger is a liar, but this must be the first time he's tried to gaslight a planet. Yeah, all of the above. And I haven't even got to their aircraft character. Carrier. The big trouble, huge. I would say they ran the bend, but unfortunately that's not possible on that boat. I'll come to that in a minute. Darby, hello, Simon.
Evening, Nick. Just a couple of things. I've got an addendum to your mention of Stephen Colbert.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Trump cocks and crows how it was him who got rid of him, but I'm not quite so sure that's true. Have you heard what his next job is, Stephen Colbert?
Is he writing something to do with Lord of the Rings, isn't it?
he's a massive Lord of the Rings fan, and he used to be in his programme a lot, from what I gather. I read a report on it yesterday. And he got to know Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings. And he put an idea towards him that there was a bit missed in the films that they could make into a new film. And Peter Jackson agreed, and he's getting him to write the scripts.
Blimey. What bit missed was missed?
Well, there was one section of it, he said, that they could make into a spin-off film. I've never read the books. I've seen the films, but I couldn't tell you which bit it was. But, yeah, so I don't know if it's quite so sure that he actually got sacked. I think he probably resigned to go and work for Peter Jackson.
No, I very much doubt that. The amount of money an American talk show host gets is colossal. And he was the number one in his time slot, I think. He was the number one rated show. So, no, he didn't go because he wanted
willingly.
To. Yeah, exactly.
The other one was just to mention a British film TV show that we could add.
Yeah.
You say that they're always killing women. Well, this one's about a woman killing men. Killing Eve.
I saw the first series of that. I thought it was quite good. I didn't watch the second. I don't know why.
Oh, I kept going with them. I really enjoyed it. She's absolutely amazing, that young actress.
Yeah.
The accents, how she could put accents on, and yet she's from Liverpool. Amazing.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks for the good news there, Simon. Helen says, Nick, the food caddy bins are very secure. No foxes can get into ours, and we have foxes every night sleeping in our road in West Norwood. Yeah, I think they're getting too bold, foxes. And I think it started when we were all sent inside by Mr. Blobby.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
During the time of the Invisible Menace. I think foxes thought, ooh, there's no noise. They're all those slow-moving blobs of fat, they're not here anymore. And they started to just wander around the place. They're not frightened of us anymore. I was in Kew Gardens the other day, and there's just foxes just wandering around in amongst the people as though, you know, this is where they belong. Or even more to the point, they're thinking, why are you in my place? get out. I think that morons feed them. That's part of the problem. That's why they come up to us now, is that morons feed them. And it must be a bit confusing for them because, you know, some morons feed them and some people just want them to go away. And they make that very clear by stamping their feet, clapping their hands and shooing them away. And they must think, oh, come on, make up your mind. One minute it's a tasty tidbit and the next minute you're trying to kill me. 0345-6060-973. Nottingham, hello, Nicholas.
Oh, hi, Nick. Good evening, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Oh, I've got a name for you. It's not mine. I nicked it off of John Stewart. I listened to him on new TV. It's funny.
Yeah.
Supreme Misleader.
I think it's got to be better than that.
Is it? Maybe not. It was hilarious. And maybe it was just his delivery, not mine.
Right, yeah. You had to have been there.
Yeah, I had to have been there. It sure is amazing. But either way, Trump should get... there is a trophy that Trump deserves to get, but I don't think he'll accept it. The man with the longest list of satire names. I think you have the data to prove that.
Yeah, there can't be anybody in history that has had more rude names made up about them. No.
The world is literally... Every comedian on the planet has at least given one name.
Yeah. I've got about 100 on this piece of paper that I've got in front of me. Literally about 100 different names. Donnie Doolittle, Idiot Armin. That's a favourite.
Yeah, that's
that one. Donnie Rotten. That's a good one. The Fartful Dodger. Blob the Builder.
And every time I think, oh no, there can't be another name. Surely
another one pops up. Another one pops up, yeah. Wussolini. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. There's so much of them. You can go on forever.
Forever, yeah. All right, good work. Thanks a lot, Nicholas. Cheers, mate. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, there's probably about 50 of them in my last book, and I'm already writing the next book, and there'll be at least another 50 or 100, perhaps. You know, assuming that we live that long. in that book when it comes out at the end of this year. Let's see. Clacton. Hello, Ben. Oh, Ben, it's right up against the news. Can I take you after the news?
Of course.
Unless you can wrap it up for me in 30 seconds.
No, I've got a lot to talk about.
All right, okay. I'm going to put him on hold. A very cooperative caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Derek and Cullen says, I've never seen The Sopranos, but that doesn't mean I have that I don't have a strong opinion of the best TV series in the world. Fargo pips Breaking Bad, but only just for me. Which means that The Sopranos comes in fourth, behind Better Call Saul. Honestly, Nick, stick with Fargo and you can thank me later. Yeah, no. Fargo, the film, is superb. But I tried the TV show and it's... No. It's a no from me. Brian says, Wombat poo reminds me of the ooh-ah bird, named after the shape of their eggs. The ooh-ah bird. Well, now you've given me homework. Now I'm going to have to look up what the ooh-ah bird is. If indeed there is such a thing. Yeah, wombat poo was, believe it or not, something that we were discussing very late at night on this program yesterday. And apparently it's cubed. I am not making that up. Cubes, it comes out as. Don't ask me how. I don't know. And I'm not prepared to look it up either. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Multiple people have been injured after being hit by a car in Derby city centre. Derbyshire police is saying a black Suzuki Swift was involved. Harry Briggs has more details now for LBC.
A number of people have been taken to hospital, some seriously injured after a car struck a number of people on Friargate at around 9:30 p.m. on Saturday night, a main road in the city centre with lots of bars and clubs. The area is currently closed off and the driver, a man in his 30s, has been arrested and is in police custody.
Security services say a drone has been shot down close to the home of the leader of Iraq's Kurdish ruling party. The news has come after President Macron of France appealed for calm. As fears grow, the Iraqis may be drawn into the war between Iran, the US and Israel. He says everything must be done to avoid that eventuality. Yemen's Houthis have promised to increase their attacks after entering the US-Israeli war for the first time. The group, which is backed by Tehran, has fired missiles towards Israel. In the past, the Houthis have attacked in the Red Sea and limited access to the Suez Canal. The Middle East journalist Natasha Tarak has been telling LBC global trade will suffer even more if they resume that campaign.
If the Red Sea is deemed unsafe for ships to pass, they will be forced to traverse around the Cape of Good Hope, going all the way around the continent of Africa to reach Europe. And by the way, a significant amount of Europe's oil and gas reaches Europe by the Suez Canal.
Hundreds of thousands of demonstrators have been protesting in cities across the U.S. against the policies of the Trump administration, including the war with Iran. More than 3,200 events were planned in all 50 states. Two people have been arrested after the death of a 13-year-old boy following a road collision in North Lincolnshire. They're both men aged 18 and 41. The schoolboy was injured while riding a scooter in Grimsby on Tuesday. And in sports, the British heavyweight boxer Moses Itoma has kept his unbeaten record intact by stopping Jermaine Franklin. The 21-year-old won by a knockout in the fifth round against his American opponent in Manchester. LBC weather, dry with clear spells for most areas overnight before a band of rain and cloud moves into Northern Ireland and Scotland. It'll be cold and there'll be a widespread frost with a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Shut up.
Here are the studio calls flashing up on the indicator.
Yes, and this one, who has been waiting a while, in Clacton, called Ben. Ben.
Yes. Yeah, there's a... you were talking about birds. I mean, there was an African bird that used to live among the thorny bushes, and it was called the Omaguli's bird.
No. I don't think so. Oh, I know, by the way, I've looked it up. The Ooh-Ah bird is a fictional bird featured in the 1975 episode of the British sitcom The Good Life. Character Margot Ledbetter describes it as a bird that lays square eggs and makes an ooh sound when laying them and an ah sound just afterwards.
Yeah, there was a commentator on the television, American commentator on the television. He was talking about Little Rubio, like Trump used to call him.
Yeah, Little Marco.
Little Marco. And Trump wears apparently very shiny shoes, so he wanted everybody around him to wear the shoes.
Yes.
So Rubio was wearing a pair two sizes too big.
This is Trump's new thing. How weird that he goes around staring at men's feet, but of which he said you can tell a lot about a man by the size of his shoes. I mean, the man, he is utterly obsessed. His entire cabinet has been given these pairs of floor-shime cheap shoes by Donald Trump, who didn't ask them what their shoe size was. He looked at their shoes and guessed and then presented them with those shoes, and they were such a bunch of spineless individuals, none of them could show up without being in those shoes, whether they fit or not.
Yeah, and he was having difficulty walking. And anyway, there was Hegseth, another one the commentator said about Hegseth. He looks actually, when he's talking about people dying and murdering people, he's almost orgasmic.
Yeah.
When he's sitting there saying these horrible words.
Well, I mean, there's a man who looks like his shoes are too tight, and he's and his shirt collar's too tight, and you know, all of the rest of it. It just looks like he's a little bit too tight.
And Trump today in his speech mentioned the Straits of Trump.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's just
Made out like it was a joke.
Well, yeah. I mean, I rang Elvis here the other day, and I was suggesting that the Navy make a lot of small boats, fast small boats, like the Iranians have got. They've got hundreds of them.
Yeah,
waiting for Trump's troops. I mean,
well, we've got no end of small boats. They come and people are kindly delivering them to us on almost a daily basis.
Yes, well, you've got them all ready.
Exactly.
You've got all these weapons. I was watching a Industries or wherever they make weapons here. Mm-hmm. I've got a new weapon. It's one of them helicopter things. What do you call them?
A drone.
And it drops a torpedo into the sea. So
They're always coming up with new and exciting ways to kill people. Imagine going through school and being good at science, and you are propelled into a career in science because, you know, you really you have a talent for it, and it's really exciting, and your science teacher encourages you, and you get an A in chemistry or physics or whatever it is, and then you go into the world of science, and you end up devising exciting ways to kill people for a living.
Yeah. And well, a lot of our industry is that way in this country. It's shameful, really. I mean, but the thing is, capital ships now, the big ones, are becoming obsolete because of these new weapons they've got, the drones and all of this. So really, there's terrible things coming for the American. I feel sorry for the American troops that are on those boats because they're just sitting there waiting.
Well, they're not going to a happy place, that's for sure.
It's just terrible.
And forward, they cried from the rear, and the front rank died.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, all right, good talking to you, Ben. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Name that song.
Rock and roll!
David says, regarding wombat poo, it has the same light, crumbly texture as an... as an OXO cube, just saying. Quentin says, If you have space in your freezer, keep your organic garbage in a bag and freeze it until they do their rounds in your street. No smell at all. Wow. That's a good idea. Why did I never think of that before? Don't put your food waste in the bucket outside, especially during summer, because it honks so badly. And they only come like once a week, once every 2 weeks, whatever it is. And you've just got this smell, which of course is, you know, absolute heaven to rats and foxes and all the rest of that. Put it in a bag and put it in your freezer until they do the rounds. I can't believe that. I mean, now I feel like an idiot. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Put it in the freezer. Good idea. Why don't they tell you to do that? Steve says, Nick, you need the default response of, I've heard of it, but never inhaled. I don't know what that means. The default response of what? What's the question? Don't get it. Marilyn in Toronto says, Nick, I'm so pleased that your clocks go forward tonight, as ours went forward 3 weeks ago. And it's now better all round for us. Yes. I think it goes at 2 o'clock, doesn't it? Something like that. One or two. Anyway, it ain't got nothing to do with me. It'll happen when I'm asleep. And I'm not going to wake up in order to see my smartphone magically change in front of my eyes. I'm not going to do that. Not necessary. Bath. Hello, Laura.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Laura.
I used to do that freezer thing when I used to live abroad.
Yeah.
Not showing off. Mm-hmm. It was in a hot country, and we used to have like kind of 2 food waste bins in our house, where we would have all the smelly stuff going in the freezer one, and then the, like, you know, like sort of dry, non-smelly food things like nuts or something could go in the one that we don't put in the freezer.
Yeah.
So it's such a brilliant idea, isn't it?
It is a brilliant idea. It's so simple. I cannot believe I haven't thought of that before. Why isn't that on the pamphlet that they send around telling you when your bins are going to be collected? They should tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that they put the people that invented, like, writing do not drink on the side of bleach for people like yourself didn't put a pamphlet in the post telling you what to do with your food waste.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is the only reason why I don't drink bleach, because it tells me not to do it on the bottle.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, thank goodness for that. I had a question about one of your sound effects.
What's your query, madam?
You know your old fabulous one? Is that the late, great Mickey Graham?
I don't know. I've got it from...
You don't know?
Most of these things, I don't know where they come from. I've had them for so long now. Got no idea.
Oh, she was on Big Brother, and I rediscovered her because I thought that might be what it's from.
Right.
So I was watching old clips of her. She was on Big Brother after, like, she was sort of the iconic one after Jay Goody, and you should take the sound effect of her going, "Who is she? Who is she? Where did you find her?" She's such a great laugh.
Right.
God rest her soul. Okay. But you should put that in as a new sound effect.
Well, it's not a request show, Laura.
Yeah, no, sorry about that. I was going to ask you about this piece that The Guardian's done about... I know we've been talking about this for years now, about who's going to be the next James Bond.
Oh.
Is it going to be Idris Elba or someone else? They're now saying they think it's going to be Jacob Elordi, which I wholeheartedly disagree with, and I'm not a fan of James Bond. I just don't think that's how they should do the casting.
Jacob Elordi. Let me think about that for a moment.
No, 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 no.
Absolutely. I will not go to a film with Jacob Elordi in it trying to play James Bond. No, 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 no.
No.
Well, I was talking at length with your lovely glamorous assistant about how he's not rugged enough.
No.
He is...
The game has changed. After, who's the one that just did it?
Piers Brosnan.
No.
Roger Moore?
No.
Oh, you mean, Sean Connery?
No, the Daniel Craig.
The Welsh guy.
Yeah.
The Welsh
Daniel
guy,
Craig, yeah. After Daniel Craig, the game has changed. Now he has to look as though he's been punched in the face a lot. And Jacob Elordi doesn't look like he's been punched in the face with anything harder than a woman's lips.
Jacob Elordi looks like he was made in a 3D printer. He's too... I don't like to use the word perfect, because I don't actually find him that attractive, but he's too... He looks like...
Plastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind painting him like a bowl of fruit, but I wouldn't... but he's not got, like, the charisma...
You would paint him as a bowl of fruit. That's just weird.
I mean, I wasn't trying to be weird, Nick. I mean, like, you know how a bowl of fruit is pretty to look at? He's like that. It's like, there's no attraction there. He's not got the charisma.
No.
Or is the kids the same these days, Riz?
Yeah, but then Daniel Craig, when Daniel Craig's name was announced, people were freaking out. They were kind of a blonde James Bond. They said, who is this bloke? Never heard of him. And he did pretty good. I mean, you know, there was at least two of the films that he made that were excellent.
Haven't they had a blonde one before?
No, I don't think any of them have been blonde, have they? Sean Connery wasn't blonde. Roger Moore wasn't... Was Roger Moore blonde? Not really.
The Welsh one was blonde, surely.
No, he had dark hair.
Okay.
He did.
What are we laughing at? I don't know.
I've got no idea. You sounds like you're hysterical.
It sounds... Are you saying that just because I'm a woman? Because, you know, that's offensive.
No, I'm saying it because you're you, Laura.
But the last thing before I go is I have to comment on this. The animal feces thing. I don't know.
Wombats.
I don't know how wombats do that.
No.
I don't know whether they use a cookie cutter mold.
Don't even think about it.
No, but I wanted to tell you about rabbits.
Cubes they poop in. Wombats. And somebody said this to me, and I had to look it up because I did not believe it, and it is completely correct in every respect. They poop cubes.
Okay.
Now, the thing that I read suggested that they do this so that they can mark their territory and it won't roll away, being as how it's a cube.
George, you know, that's just really good engineering, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean,
that's amazing.
Isn't nature an amazing thing to have come up with that all on its own?
My caveat is, have you learned the anatomy of a horse? That is just the worst designed thing ever.
A horse?
Awful. They're so poorly designed, Nick. Like, everything about them is kind of like God or whoever you believed in clicked the randomise button when he was making it. Like, none of the bits work well together. I don't know how they've made it this far.
Well, what about human beings? We're even worse put together than a horse's, because at least a horse's spine is strung between its front and back legs, but our spine is compressed. Because we stand up. We're not supposed to stand up. It hurts our ankles, knees, our hips, our spine, our neck. It's all out of whack.
Wait, what do you mean we're compressed? We're not like springs.
Look at Donald Trump when he's sitting and tell me he doesn't look compressed. He looks like...
Oh, so what happens if you decompress?
He looks like what do you call him? He looks like a space hopper that sprung a leak.
Oh dear, I can imagine the smell of it. But hey, sir, please let me finish talking about rabbits. Don't sidetrack me. Please, thank you. But rabbits are cecotrophs. Have you heard of this?
They're what?
They're cecotrophs. They lay two types of poo. They eat one and then they produce the other. But it's quite amazing, actually. When that evolution works. It's like...
That doesn't sound like it works to me. It sounds like rabbits don't know what they're doing. It's being expelled one end. That's your body telling you it doesn't want that anymore. And then they eat it?
No, because the two poos are really different. So one of them looks like boba that you get in bubble tea. And then the other one looks like little dry, crumbly bits.
Right.
But it's like basically they do the first one and they're like, do you know what? I bet there's more nutrients than that.
Oh.
So it goes down another time and they were right. They get a little extra nutrients, and then they do the final product. I think it's genius.
Stupid.
The horses should
stupid,
do that.
No, I don't think so. No. I mean...
Amazing, I've ever
not
Nick.
The not the snack that you can eat between meals without ruining your appetite. Horse poo. Not really. No.
Not for me.
No.
Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, Laura. What an appalling phone call. I would like to apologise for that. In fact, I'd like to apologise for this entire programme. We're very sorry about, you know, everything.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the LBC app.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Daddy? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Fancy a trip to France without the fancy price tag? Go all Irish. With great low prices, travel from Dover to Calais with Irish ferries and you'll have France at your feet in 90 minutes. Can-can, less, more money, less money. You get the picture. Get a warm Irish welcome on board and a cool pint of the black stuff on us. Zero alcohol, of course, when you book direct at irishferries.com. Escargot on, then. Irish Ferries. See travel differently. T's and C's apply.
UK.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I am not one of your fans!
Jean in Chelmsford says, I asked at my local library for a book on tortoises. They said hardback. I said yes, with a tiny head. Paddington. Hello, Richard.
Good morning. You've got the Sopranos wrong. It is about America. It has everything to do with class, money, and cultural identity. And the best episode to illustrate that is called Columbus Day, which happened to be written by the actor who played Chris, so I can't pronounce his second name.
Imperioli, by Michael Imperioli.
Yeah, and it is fantastic. It's about Native Americans are complaining about Columbus Day Parade, and then every group, every ethnic group has a gripe or a chip on their shoulder about something. And at the end of it, Tony Soprano makes this fantastic speech about Gary Cooper. And it is brilliant. Unfortunately, critics at the time say it's one of the worst episodes of the entire series. But that is my personal favourite, and it illustrates everything about what is America and the so-called American.
And he was saying that that he was the strong silent type, Gary Cooper, right?
Yeah, yeah. But he goes into his whole speech about, you know, that he didn't moan, he didn't care, you know what I mean? He was back in the day, he didn't care. He didn't care that his father was an illiterate Irish drunkard. He just went out there and he faced Frank Miller. I mean, I can't quote it, but just that, I know, that episode itself, it encapsulates the whole series, and it is. It's one of the. It's about America. It's like The Godfather is about more than just a sum of its parts. And
I understand what you're saying, but it can also be about America, but it can also be just about families, because it's about family in the sense of his actual family, but also the other family that he has. You know, the family. The thing yes. that they're in, and so I think it's all about that. It's about relationships, and I suppose that's what America is about, and just the same as any other country, really.
Now I'll tell you something. Though they made a movie, didn't they? I forget the Saints of Jersey.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
No, don't. Apparently, it's horrible, and I won't watch it on the advice from I forget its name. Ex-mafia.
Right.
But anyway, so if you go and watch that one, that sums it all up.
Well, I've been talking about this so much lately, and I'm also reading the book that Michael Imperioli wrote about his time in The Sopranos, and he talks to a lot of the cast and a lot of the people backstage about, you know, their experience of it. It's very, very good. And so I'm thinking, am I going to watch it again for like the sixth time in a row? You'd think that something else would have been made in the meantime that would attract my attention, but I can't think of it.
Do Do you remember the prisoner with what's his name?
Patrick McGoohan.
Matt Patrick McGoohan. That is something, I mean, I know it's a long time ago, but it's something you can just rewatch and rewatch again because there's something new to be seen in each episode.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit of its time, the 1960s.
Mm. And I was talking about Twin Peaks earlier on in the programme, yeah, and that started brilliantly, but got a bit self-involved. That's not the word I'm going for, but I'll just use that in order to save time. Self-involved towards the end, and it was a bit unwatchable. Same thing happened with The Prisoner.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing about The Prisoner, the last episode is the best episode, one of the best episodes.
No, I don't know about
them
that.
Them bones.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But thanks for the good advice, Richard, and if I see it from the beginning all over again, then I will undoubtedly stumble across your episode.
Thank you.
Johan says, Nick, as an alternative to food waste bags, you can simply chuck most of your kitchen waste in a compost bin. We call it the Jane Austen because it reminds us of Matilda. We've done it for years and we must have saved a fortune in useless waste bags. The compost bin. Well, what's that then? I ain't got no compost bin. Johnny says, I'm absolutely loving the show. However, I am rather concerned that you don't seem to be aware that the clocks go forward first thing this morning. I am very aware of that. It's in about 35 minutes or an hour and 35 minutes. I don't really know. I can't really. There's no way of finding out. We'll all be surprised when it happens together. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Nick, there are things in life which are much, much, much bigger than you and me, yeah?
What, like elephants?
Well, NASA plans a launch for Artemis 2 on the 1st of April. That's April Fool's Day. I would not want to be one of those four crew members on that rocket on the 1st of April being sent to go around the moon.
If you start getting picky about dates, then, you know, much of the calendar gets wiped out because I'm sure they have to have the weather is perfect. And so, you know, if it's like Friday the 13th, well, you can't go then.
Don't you pull me up on dates and weather and nonsense, my good buddy, right? Because you don't go to the moon on April the 1st, you fool. You just don't do it. You don't do it, do you?
I'm sitting here not pulling you up.
Oh, Nick, come on. Look, Jeff in Merthyr, Laura in Bath made, not very characteristic calls for either of them this evening, right? I think they were both off the scale.
Well, if that means drunk, then I think that the call is coming from inside the house, Malcolm.
Well, Nick, I think Laura is one of your best ever callers. I think Jeff is a compatriot of mine who makes sense occasionally. And the two must never be separated because they make up the Nicky Abbott show. And, Nick, look, all I have to say is this.
Yeah. And finally, yes.
I'll leave you with this thought, Nick, right? It's my... Oh God, how do I say this? I have family up in Scotland now, right? One family member up in Scotland now who is a diamond. And she's doing diamond work up in Scotland. And the whole of the country has to look at our PM, has to look at the US president and say, never the twain shall ever be described with the same words because they're worlds apart.
Yeah, well, okay, some of that made sense. Not a lot. I'll be absolutely truthful with you, but some of those words made sense.
I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
But thanks for that, Malcolm, whatever that was. I think that man needs to be banned from the goose and cuckoo. What do you say? Jean in Chelmsford says, I asked at my local library. No, I read that one. Not gonna get fooled like that again. Simon says, if you are working this evening at 1 o'clock, by the time you actually finish, it will be 2 a.m. Will you get paid the extra hour? No, it's entirely outside of my purview. Andy says, night, darling, sweet dreams, sleep tight, God bless, take care, stay safe, enjoy your Saturday, miss you, princess, love you, your Andy X. What's happening on this program? Don't ask me. This was like this when I got here. Sarah in Tavistock says, Nick, pandas aren't stupid, they're just calling it before the rest of us. Honestly, what is the point of reproducing? It's later than you think. Pandas are trying to become extinct. I don't know why we keep, helping them to stay alive. They're obviously not, I mean, they look like they're happy, but what kind of an animal doesn't want to have hot interpersonal relationships with other members of its species? Me, comes the message from next door. Wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Please don't ever do that again. Oh, 0345 6060973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060973. By the way, you should be aware that the Friday and Saturday night shows do get put up the internet as a podcast. It's called Nick Abbott The Whole Show Podcast. And it's exclusive to Global Player and the new LBC app. Ask for Nick Abbott The Whole Show Podcast. The Friday and Saturday night shows stuck up the internet almost the moment they're finished. And the idea is that we take the news and most of the ads out. Mostly. Which means it takes less time to listen to, which will give you more time to think about that whole not wanting to have relations with another member of your own species thing.
Disgusting.
12:30 on LBC. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
Multiple people have been injured after being hit by a car in Derby city centre. Derbyshire police says a black Suzuki Swift was involved and a man's been arrested after they were called to Friargate. Yemen's Houthis have promised to increase their attacks after entering the war in the Middle East for the first time. The group, which is backed by Tehran, has fired missiles towards Israel. And hundreds of thousands of demonstrators have been protesting in cities across the US against the policies of the Trump administration, including the war with Iran. More than 3,200 events were planned in all 50 states. LBC weather, dry with clear spells for most areas overnight before a band of rain and cloud moves into Northern Ireland and Scotland. Cold everywhere with a low of around 1 degree.
This is LBC.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, it's not working. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Sorry to interrupt your day, but I've just been diagnosed with dementia, and I'm going to need your help. I'll need help when I can no longer button a shirt or recognise my own family. My daughter will need help too. I worry this could ruin her life. And we will all need help to find a cure to end the devastation of dementia. I can't do this alone.
It will take a society to beat dementia. Alzheimer's Society.
Play.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Care what this guy thinks?
No!
Lizzie says, I stayed on British Summertime for the last 6 months. It was great. I got an extra hour's light to walk the dogs in the evening. Well, that does sound like a good idea. I think we should resist. I mean, just getting plunged into the darkness for 5 months in the worst months of the year, it just doesn't seem fair, does it? But we're about to step into the light. Natasha in North Carolina says, you cannot imagine my joy to learn that you too shun microwave ovens. My late mother and estranged father found me the greatest disappointment because, among other reasons, I refused to have one. I don't like food with the texture of rubber, food hot around the edges but cold in the middle, and so on. The flame or classic oven work for me. And me too, Natasha. Totally with you, 100%. No nuclear food. No thank you. And Hannah says, about the rotting food waste containers talked about yesterday on your program, imagine the people who have to open and empty them when it's hot in the summer. Yeah. Oh, God, the smell of it. Imagine. Battersea. Hello, Patrick.
How are you doing, Nick?
Good, thanks.
Couple of names for you.
Go on.
The Liar Toller.
Liar Toller. I've got that one already. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you got Cecil B. Dementia?
No. But that is good.
Yeah, Cecil B. Dementia.
That is on the list.
Excellent.
Excellent. Very good, that man. Is that it?
That was it, mate.
Okay, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Patrick. George in Mayfair says, thank God for Trump, all in capital letters like he's shouting at me. Yeah, thanks a lot, God. Is that what you mean? Lee says, I texted you last year and suggested freezing your food waste. Just keep a plastic bag in your freezer, scrape your food waste into it, and once a week empty the bag into the bin. No smell, no flies. Or didn't that work for you, says Leah. Well, I don't recall you saying that. I mean, you could have said it. I just probably wasn't paying attention. I don't listen to this show. Zach says, Nick, the cartoon business would welcome you. Ricky Gervais managed it with his show. Why can't you just cartoonize your show? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Money. Yes, the money it would cost. Mind you, since, I mean, I don't know what you mean by Ricky Gervais managed it with his show. The whole process of cartoonizing something has just been simplified, hasn't it? You just ask AI to do it for you.
Affirmative.
And it will. Of course, it will, you know, hatch a plan to execute all humankind while it's doing it. But the time that we'll save in the meantime. John says, regarding Nick and parking, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Well, if by you mean happy, I should just give up and give the council 160 quid, then no, I'd rather be right. If being happy entails giving in, then I'd rather be miserable. Thanks. Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Oh, hi.
Yes,
hi.
Jan.
Hi, good morning, Nick. So, I've got a few things, but first I'd like to just clarify. I don't think I was very good at speaking to you last night, explaining a word for you for your sort of regarding Trump. Because what I better just go straight into it, because what I was offering was, you know, there's a saying, say, to be off one's chump means one is mad.
Yeah.
So my thing I'm offering you is to be off one's trump.
Right. It's still a no.
Oh, is it a no?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because I wasn't sure whether it...
No.
And then a quick thing about composting.
Yes.
I because of the sort of diet I'm on, the vegan one, I have a whole load of things. And I think neighbours look at my... I fill the whole bin for the man to take. They come at 6:30 in the morning. And I don't really like getting down there at 6:30. But otherwise, it something will happen to it. Because people look at it and think, my God, you know, what's how come she's got so much? She can fill a whole one of these council...
caddies.
It's quite a fancy bin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway...
Well, what are you filling it with?
With my peelings and things. I'm not throwing food away. It's just lots of peelings.
Peelings?
Fruit and vegetables and things like that. But I found out that I had a problem with it all. And I tried burying what I had in the garden.
Okay.
And, you know, because I didn't have a composter, I couldn't buy a composter. I think it costs about £100 or something. So I thought I'd bury it in the garden.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, the foxes dug it up and made
I can imagine. Yeah, the stink. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave that alone. Right. Listen, I was calling about...
Is it wise to peel fruit and vegetables? What, I mean, isn't much of the goodness in...
Oh, you know. Oh, no, it's from oranges and bananas and it's that sort of thing. And, nutshells.
Stuff like that. Inedibles.
Well, for some, I don't know, the foxes seem to be able to eat anything.
They can eat. They eat anything, yeah.
But, Nick.
Yes?
I was ringing about this. Sorry, I have a bit of a gravelly voice at the moment.
Right.
It's just, I have a bad, I tried doing some soprano singing and
no. Don't do that. Think of the neighbours, Janet.
they won't hear me. No, I'm singing like karaoke thing to beautiful music.
Don't do that.
Easter music.
No, terrible. Karaoke, no.
No, I mean to Easter music.
Yeah, no, just don't do it.
That's beautiful music.
Well, that's what you say. Get your neighbours on the phone and we'll hear what they say.
They're away at the moment. Listen, Nick. I was ringing up about something that I saw and I thought, well, this may change the whole thing about what's going on with the Strait of Hormuz.
Okay, the Bend of Hormuz.
The Bend. It's just that what's so extraordinary, I'm quite surprised by it all, that apparently a lot of ships are getting through a given safe passage if they're not hostile, you know, not in aggression with Iran.
Yeah.
So the countries are like China. India.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're allowed to pass through safely.
Yeah.
The Gulf states as well, because they've of course been on friendly terms with Iran. Or some of them have. So even their foreign minister, I won't try and pronounce his name.
No, please don't. No.
He's saying that when the war's over, there'll be a new order. They're charging people.
Yeah, they'll charge people.
Passage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they want the money, honey. Why not?
They're 2 billion. No, sorry, not 2 million to have a safe passage.
Right.
That's what they're charging now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's
so
huge.
They claim they can the estimated amount of money they could bring in from by charging ships would be $80 billion a year.
Yeah.
But at the moment they are charging, some countries are paying $2 million to have a safe passage, and it's all worked out to the embassies so that they're not hit by anything.
Right, and this is this is part of the Tangerine Screams stupid plan.
Oh, shut up!
Yeah, absolutely no idea what he's doing whatsoever. He's making everything worse with each passing minute, and and we're just stuck with him.
But this is Iran themselves are charging.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is that they're saying that even after the war, they're saying those waters are theirs. They're not part of international waters.
Right.
That, you know, because it's
it abuts their land. Yes.
Yeah. So, but. It's quite complex, really. But they're saying, because Iran is designated a terrorist state, isn't it, by America? Is it? I didn't realise it was. It was designated. They say that they're designated a terrorist organisation by America, EU, and other Western countries.
Right.
Is that correct?
I don't know. You just said it.
No, I mean that's because I'm reading something about. How Middle East conflict in the FT.
Right, but what's that got to do with anything?
No, because they're saying because that means they're on sanctions. Terrorist organisations are on sanctions.
Yeah, well, we're all on sanctions now, Jan. Have you seen the price of petrol?
Oh no, I meant the complications about banking money that Iran would get.
Right.
Or they're doing something illegal by charging.
Illegal? Yeah, but the water off our coast, we say, is ours. So what's the difference?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's what Iran is saying. They have a right to charge for
right.
even
and no
in
doubt
history.
They will. Yes, absolutely.
In history, the Suez Canal was they were charging for ships to use their passage. So maybe in the long run, they may even when the war is over, they'll be charging people to use that waterway.
Yeah, with which they'll rebuild some of the 15,000 sites that America and Israel have blown up. Yes.
And that might still blow up as well, might
right,
they?
That's
they might
right.
still blow them up because, when is this going to end?
No one has any idea, but particularly the person who started it. Yeah, got no clue, Jan, but we'll find out when we get there, right? But thanks a lot for, that. Catherine says, Nick, my husband appealed and reappealed and reappealed again following a parking fine in London, and after his tenacity, finally they backed down. Keep fighting that fine, Nick, says Kat in Cheltenham. I certainly will do absolutely that, yeah. And Richard in Manchester says, this year could be saved by the new Paul McCartney album at the end of May. And there's rumours of a new Rolling Stones album not long after.
Rock and roll!
Might at least distract us from Donny's excursion, yeah. Well, if the new Rolling Stones album is as good as the last Rolling Stones album, Hackney Diamonds, then that is going to be a special thing. That came out of nowhere. I am amazed at how good that album was. And, because, you go see the Rolling Stones and they play the same exact songs that they've been playing for the last 30, 40 years over and over and over again. They must be so bored. Here comes Start Me Up again. Again. But they put out this new album last year, Hackney Diamonds, and it was just great. I mean, it really was terrific. So if they can pull that off again, then count me in. And I'm always interested in anything that Paul McCartney does, of course. 0345 6060973. Oldbury. Hello, Rangers.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, mate?
Good, all thanks.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever followed a lorry that picks up the offal from butcher shops?
No.
In the summer?
No. Ew.
Man, the smell is so bad, right? And by where I live, there's a few butcher shops. And even after 10 minutes, if that van's been, you can still smell it. I'm not joking, right? Yeah. It's really bad. And I remember, in India, when I visit, there's a place where they make leather jackets, right?
Hmm.
And that's where they take all the dead animals and take the leather off it. And on a hot day, the smell is really bad. And this thing about, when people are saying to you, put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then that's a good idea. We do that with our fish. When we fillet our fish, the bones.
Uh-huh.
And we put it in the freezer. And then when the fishman comes, he takes it.
So you cut the fish up yourself. You don't buy it in steaks or any fillets.
It's in steaks, but it's all got bones in there. The
really?
Mini fish, there's three types of fish. You can get mini fish, you can get cutting cod, which is large pieces of fish, or you can get codling, which is like 10 to 12 to 14 ounces, but you can't get them no more now because of what's happened with the EU. So we have to get cutting cotton. That's still got bones in there in the middle, And so you cut the bones out. I mean, we sell our fish. We don't advertise it as boneless, but
right.
If you find a bone in there, we're not liable. And then that fish... No.
Have you got a sign up saying that? Don't eat at your own discretion. Yeah.
And discretion. Well, he's like Donald Trump now. Anyway, he saw something. Well, it wasn't really my fault. It was them lot that started it, right? And now he hasn't got an exit plan. But, you got to have disclaimers on anything that you do, right? And what, that when they fillet the fish, if anybody eats fish cakes, that's all the bits that the remnants of what people don't want in their fish.
I guess it's sausages and beef burgers are the bits that wouldn't look good as a steak.
No. I mean, you know, if you work in a bakery, you will not eat bread.
Oh,
if you work
why
in
not?
A slaughterhouse, you... man, I know if you... There's a massive bakery not too far away from us, right? And they will not eat bread, right? If you work in a slaughterhouse, you're probably going to end up being a vegetarian.
Well, I did. Right? I didn't work in a slaughterhouse. I worked in a meat pie factory, and I went vegetarian for about 22 years.
Yeah, and you know, I want to make an announcement, right? That a lovely couple come to visit me this week, right? From Inverness, right? Dave and Wendy. Mm. And I need to let people know, if you're going to visit me between now and April the 8th, yeah? There's free fish and chips for you guys waiting, because I'm not going to be there because we're closed for an Easter break, yeah? And you know, like when you make a, you know, when you make a trip, yeah? And you're all, it's like having a firework, you know, when you light a firework up, yeah? And you run away from it and it goes, and nothing happens, right?
Do so not you're coming approach to visit me from a firework that that has already been lit. Don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. About Donnie, yeah. You know what? I'll tell you what.
But hang on a minute. Back up. You promised free fish and chips to people who come and visit you when you're not there.
So from between now and the 8th of April,
yeah.
You come down, the shutters are going to be down on my shop, yeah.
But you can have free fish and chips. How are they going to get that if you're shut?
Because I've been listening to Donnie, because he works for Donnie. Right, he can say what he wants, and he gets people following him. So more people are going to follow me now.
Right,
from all over the country.
Free fish and chips, but only when you're shut.
Shop,
yeah,
only when I'm shut. And if people are so gullible, right? And come on, Nick, people are gullible, aren't they? They're taking it all in.
Yes, they are. Right? Yes, and so free if you're shut. And if you're not closed, then they can have fish and chips at the regular price. Isn't that right, Ranjit?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right, got to go. Thanks for that. 0345 6060 973.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Ball.
Are you prepared to drive less or work from home due to the impending fuel crisis? And has the rise of smartphones and tablets meant that reading is now dying out?
Clive Ball at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers, because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no, just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which, a record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
A lot of legal decisions in this country are made by magistrates, volunteers, like you and me, working as a team to make decisions on cases in criminal or family courts with support from legal advisors. You don't need specific qualifications or experience. I'm an electrician myself, but you could be anything. A teacher, a delivery driver, unemployed. With ongoing support, you'll learn new skills, enjoy new challenges, and help create positive change for your community. Volunteer at icanbeamagistrate.co.uk.
Happy Meal just got a cosmic boost, because the Super Mario Galaxy movie has landed in cinemas, and Mario hasn't come alone. There's a whole galaxy for your little ones to discover. Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 4th of May, from 11 a.m. Includes one pre-selected book or toy, while stocks last.
Play.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
We are running late. Malcolm in Bodmin says, tell Phil that Doc Martens were not cherry red. They were and still are ox blood. Punched the fella's lights out in 78 for stepping all over my toe caps of my new pair. He didn't step on another pair in his entire life, says Malcolm. Well, how do you know that? And they are called cherry reds. They're not oxbloods. Cherry reds. Dave says, I am amazed anybody uses motorway services in the age of AI and map applications. If you know you're going to need fuel, doesn't it make sense to come off the motorway and use your phone to find the nearest petrol station? Yes, it does. But you think that petrol stations near motorways would have figured that out. And they would charge you accordingly. That is an absolute outrage. I mean, people aren't prepared to do any of that, though. You get off the motorway and it almost seems like... I don't know. It almost seems like you'll never get back on it again. We'll never find that again. Certainly was in the time of maps. I bet Philip remembers maps. You remember maps, don't you, Philip?
Maps, remember maps, yes, I did, yes.
Of course, yes. You never wanted to get off the motorway. You might never find your way back on again.
No, those little symbols and everything, yeah, lovely. Nick, I wanted to talk about Michael Imperioli.
Right, he's Christopher... From
well,
Sopranos.
Well, I must be truthful. I never watched The Sopranos. It was one of the series. It was on, but I must admit. But anyway, I watched Michael Imperioli and his other things he did. He started out as a petty crook on Law and Order, and about 2 or 3 years later, he joined the show as a cop.
Oh, yeah.
He was a partner. I think one of the regulars went off for a couple of months to do something else, and he came in, and he was brilliant as this sort of rogue cop that they had to sort of, you know, reel in, and he, really, really good. And then I saw him in the American version of Life on Mars. Have you ever seen it? With Harvey Keitel.
Really? Harvey Keitel?
Yeah, Harvey Keitel plays Gene Hunt. And it's a brilliant series.
Remind me what that's about. It's not about David Bowie, is it?
It's about the copper who goes back in time.
Oh, it's a time travel thing.
Yes.
Right.
And there is a scene in the American version that is really, the lead character is in New York, and suddenly he looks up, and the Twin Towers are there.
Right.
And the series over, and the ending was great. I thought the ending of the American version was great, too. So he did a lot of good, a lot of good stuff on television.
Well,
really,
Harvey Keitel, you can't get better than that.
Well, there's a story, and I believe it's true, that when Harvey Keitel got the role of Gene Hunt, he phoned up Lannister and told him, I've got your role. And he sort of for ideas on what he could do in the role he's very, very good as Gene Hunt in the American version. So,
right.
And he said, the other thing was, you mentioned last night you were talking about quokkas.
Yes.
I've been to the island where you find them in Western Australia, Rottnest Island.
Are they only on one island, are they?
Well, I don't know, Nick. This island is famous for quokkas. It's about 9 miles off of Fremantle in Western Australia. You can go on day trips, and it was weird. We were going down the island, and you see these groups of people. Well, I thought it was people, hanging around, in groups, staring at you, and it was quokkas.
They are so cute. I've never seen anything look so ridiculously cute in my life. They look like a stuffed toy.
It was weird. I would never forget it. I thought, oh, I didn't know whether to get out or not. I don't. Does it say whether I'm sure are they friendly, Nick?
I don't know. How big are they?
Yeah, they're not that big. Not that big, really.
Well, tell me how big. Oh, like the size of a cat?
Bigger than a cat.
Right.
Yeah, it was such a long time ago when I was out in WA, but...
I tell you what, kids, if you have never seen a quokka, and it's entirely possible that you haven't, because it was a brand new animal to me, Q-U-O-K-K-A,
yeah.
I think that's how you spell it.
Yeah, I think that's
spell
how you spell it. It's the same. Finally, Nick, I've got a rock and roll update for you.
Go on.
Do you remember a few weeks ago I mentioned this musical that's going around about Alan Freed?
Yes.
Well, it's opened, and it's got rave reviews. I've been reading it. I haven't seen it. It's got rave reviews, and they've been getting it 4 and 5 stars. And what they like about it, Nick, from the reviews, is it's got depth. You mentioned you thought it wouldn't have depth in it.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a jukebox musical.
But no. They eat into his, how he brought the black musician we call rock and roll, or whatever, as it was then.
Right.
To people, and it goes into his career and deep, the trouble he had over payola.
And what's it called?
It's called The Rock and Roll Man.
Rock and Roll Man. And it's on... Where is it? Is it on in London?
It's funny. It's only been the three dates so far. Salisbury, where it originated. Windsor. And then it's down in Poole in Dorset. But
right,
I'm not
sounds
sure
like they're...
looking for...
Right, sounds like...
To my...
It sounds like they're going around the country in expectation of arriving in the West End.
I think they will from the... If the reviews are anything to go by from what I've read, Dick.
Okay. All right. Well, good news. Thanks a lot, Philip. Cheers for that. All right. What to finish on? So much. The US aircraft carrier that the toilets don't work? Or how about the new Ayatollah? Donald Trump has confirmed that the CIA has told him that Iran's new Ayatollah, Mojtaba Khamenei, is gay. Donald Trump said that that would lead the supreme leader off to a bad start in the hardline Islamic Republic. Yeah, not the best start, no. The US president said he had been briefed by intelligence officials on the claim, which centered on the son of Iran's former supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. Asked in an interview with Fox News, whether the CIA had made the assessment, Trump said, "They did say that, but I don't know if it was only them." Whatever that means. No idea. U.S. intelligence agencies do not have photographic evidence to support claims that Khamenei's alleged sexuality is gay. I mean, it's not like he was best friends with Jeffrey Epstein or anything, but sources insist the information is considered credible at the highest level. Among the evidence they have relied on to make that conclusion is that the new supreme leader of the Iranian regime is gay, is that he wears more makeup than Dolly Parton, he has a hair don't that uses enough hairspray to punch a hole in the ozone layer, he can't stop going on about the size of the late great Arnold Palmer's personal area, he says you can tell a lot about a man from his shoe size, and constantly eyes up his staff's feet and estimates their shoe size and buys them all matching slip-ons. Oh, and his favourite band is the Village People. Did I miss anything?
Oh, shut up!
Thank you for your attention to this matter. If you missed any of today's show, or yesterday's, available as a podcast on the Global Player app or the new LBC app. Ask for Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. Both of those apps are free from your app store right now. I'll be back tonight at 10 for my Abnormal Normal show, coming up before it's James Hansen. But first, Clyde Bull.
Nick, thank you. And coming up, there's a warning today from a former BP.